How many phones have you got, Jasper Hamill? Thank you for talking to us, online tech editor of The Sun. Nice to talk about something a bit less serious than the terror news. Just some rather more serious news, breaking news in the last couple of minutes. Fred Tolbert, you'll remember him as the TV weatherman on This Morning, famous for his jumpers and leaping on that map in Manchester this morning. Sorry, Liverpool, sorry, on This Morning. He was also a teacher in the 1970s and 80s. He has, in the last few minutes, just been convicted of a number of sexual offences. More on that in the news at 1 o'clock. Right, I'm done for another day. Just want you to know, I've just had a really grovelling text message from the UKIP leader, Paul Nuttall, for failing to talk to my lovely talk radio listeners earlier today. But thanks very much to his deputy for stepping in after their manifesto launch. I'm going to go and send an angry text back. Let's talk now to Mr. John Holmes. He's in the studio. Tell us what's happening on his show.
That's right. Things are happening, of course. It's Thursday and, you know, we liked it. Yesterday we got a lot of positive text messages and messages that's coming in saying actually a little bit of light respite yes. was what was needed. So we'll be continuing that vein today and being very silly.
Absolutely. Carrying on. Good British trait. He's coming up, John Holmes, after 1 o'clock. I'll be back with you at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. This is Talk Radio. Do stay tuned.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
All the latest election news as soon as it breaks on the station that's going to the country.
The British Open Democratic Process.
Talk Radio.
Have you noticed how words that describe big things are, well, big? The word colossal is pretty sizable. Humongous would win any game of Scrabble. Then there's the phrase, the original bundle from Sky. Loads of channels, big screen drama, and a 1 terabyte Sky Q box. The smallest thing about it is the price. Sky TV for £22 a month. Search Sky Bundles. Sky. Believe in better.
Direct debit subject status. £20 setup. Sky Q loaned at no cost. Minimum contract and terms apply.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check.
We had claimed back PPI in the past, but it turns out there were some lenders we hadn't checked. The service Stanton Fisher provided was absolutely brilliant. We didn't have a lot to do, and the results spoke for themselves. We received over £2,500.
So text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI.com?
That's CHECK to 80800.
At Argos, this bank holiday, get great deals on barbecues. And an extra 25% off furniture when you spend over £200 with code FERN25. Plus, get a free £10 voucher when you spend £100. Go Argos. Selected lines, conditions apply. Offers end 6th of June. Voucher off ends 3rd of June. Excludes gift card purchases.
There's too much pressure in our lives these days. Like making sure your phone doesn't run out of battery. I'm at 3%. So when it comes to selling your car, try WeBuyAnyCar.com. Our branch staff are there to make life easy. There's no pressure. You can choose to sell or not to sell. Could someone charge me up quick? To sell your car quickly and easily, enter your reg number now at WeBuyAnyCar.com. Admin fee may apply. For more information, see WeBuyAnyCar.com/info.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
At 1 o'clock, it's Thursday. Good afternoon, I'm John Holmes. It's Talk Radio. Here's Pete Abbott with the news.
Thank you. Coming up, a minute's silence held for victims of terror attack. Queen visits Manchester Children's Hospital and UKIP launches election manifesto.
Talk Radio.
A minute's silence has been held across the country to remember the 22 people killed in Manchester on Monday night. Thousands of people packed out the city to lay flowers and pay tribute, including politicians and community leaders. The Prime Minister says the UK's terror threat level will remain at critical following the bombing. Theresa May has chaired another emergency meeting and is warning that the public should remain vigilant. Ministers are said to be furious that photos from the attack scene shared with American intelligence agencies were leaked to the media. The PM intends to raise the issue with the US president at a NATO meeting later.
I will make clear to President Trump that intelligence that is shared between our law enforcement agencies must remain secure.
The Queen has visited Royal Manchester Children's Hospital to meet young victims of Monday's attack. Her Majesty also met staff who worked tirelessly through the night in the aftermath of the atrocity. Greater Manchester Chief Constable Ian Hopkins has confirmed 8 people have now been arrested and said that some of their searches have revealed items which are very important. Former US President Barack Obama says what happened is a reminder of the threat we face.
It's also a time of great opportunity. My hope is that now that I'm no longer president, but I'm still hopefully have a little bit of influence, that I'm going to be in a position to help more and more young people to deal with some of these challenges.
In other news, UKIP says it's the only party going into the general election promising not to raise taxes. It insists cutting the UK's foreign aid bill would more than plug deficits in the NHS. Leader Paul Nuttall has announced UKIP's manifesto this morning. And former TV weatherman Fred Talbot has been convicted of a string of historical sex offences against boys during trips to Scotland when he was a teacher in the 1970s and 80s.
There'll be a weather jingle in a minute, Pete. That's what tends to happen now. I mean, I know you're an old hand at... There it is. That's how it works. I know you're an old hand at this, Pete. You know, you've been doing this how many years?
Oh, quite a few.
You know
now,
exactly
yes,
what you're doing.
I do.
You know, I mean...
I'd like to think I do anyway.
Unlike these, you know, these Victorias that we normally have that sort of...
She's better looking than me, though.
Cluelessly ramble their way through it. But, you know, it's good to have a professional in, as I often say.
Thank you very much. So, I'll give you the weather.
Yeah, go on then.
Mostly sunny this afternoon. Parts of North Wales and Lancashire likely to be the hottest today with highs of 29 degrees Celsius.
Now, I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Yesterday, you were doing the pre-recorded sport.
Yes.
Because Ben, who normally does the pre-recorded sport, is on
holiday. It's going to get
complicated,
I can see.
So, who's doing the pre-recorded sport today?
I think it's Tim Humphrey, but I may be wrong about
that. Let's find out with somebody's pre-recorded sport.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Tim Humphrey. Wayne Rooney has been left out of the England squad for the World Cup qualifier with Scotland and friendly with France. Tottenham right back Kieran Trippier has been called up for the first time with Stoke goalkeeper Jack Butland back after injury. Nathan Redmond and James Ward-Prowse have dropped down into the under-21 squad. Patrick Roberts has been on loan at Celtic from Manchester City and Huddersfield's on loan Chelsea forward Izzy Brown have been called up for the first time. Wales manager Chris Coleman says he's got no interest in becoming Crystal Palace manager following Sam Allardyce's resignation. Coleman says his focus is on the upcoming World Cup qualifier with Serbia.
I can't control what's said about me or anybody else outside of Wales. I don't care about it, if I'm honest. I only care about Wales. I only care about preparing properly. I'm really looking forward to this game.
Coleman's called up uncapped Everton defender Gethin Jones to his training squad. He's without Gareth Bale, who's suspended. That's your latest sport, powered by TalkSport.
Tim Humphrey there with the pre-recorded sport, because Patabat has the news. It's complicated, isn't it? Right, it's Thursday. We've got some programme to do, and I'm going to say let's get on with it. Let's get on with it.
Talk Radio.
Introducing the new Raspberry Ripple Iced Cooler. Cool and refreshing with a sweet raspberry flavour swirl. Then enjoy. Sun out, barbecue lit, flip-flops on, friends round, frisbee lost and temperature up until sundown. It's a quick burst of summer for only $1.99. The McCafe Iced range at McDonald's. Served until the 3rd of October, subject to availability. Price and participation may vary.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Previously on The John Holmes Show.
Good afternoon, I am John Holmes, and you are listening to Talk Radio. What is the point of it, though?
Can anybody stay silent for 24 hours?
I just go and watch some films.
They recognise that, and that's why I get the part.
Because yesterday was Mother's Day, one of Cornelius' favourite days.
Who's Alien?
Isn't it? Mel C3PO. Speaking of food, so you know Asprod Cass who works through the glass?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
It's more in 26 minutes.
Ramesh Ranganathan, where Greg Davis was in the hot tub.
Air is part of the environment, isn't it?
Normally, I just have a...
So a puppy has died after it was blown into a harbour. Are you laughing?
No.
The wind caught the dog, presumably.
The Addams Family.
And you open the door and you step inside. We're inside our hearts.
This is your life. Good to the last drop. Doesn't get any better than this.
John Holmes.
The radio is one of the outstanding developments of the 20th century.
Radio.
This isn't a seminar. This isn't a weekend retreat. Nothing is static. Everything is a ball.
Who are you?
John Holmes.
John Holmes.
With no power comes no responsibility.
There.
Talk Radio.
When I am mounted on a giant, it will twist the very fabric of nature.
So good afternoon to you then, and here we are, throwing ourselves back onto the radio. Thursday afternoon, and very much up front today, let us be clear, my friend, that we are not sharing any of today's programme with the US intelligence services. To be fair, it's not clear that they'd be the slightest bit interested, but frankly, we must present a united front as a nation. So we're drawing a line. None of this will be sent to the US security services after the show is finished. Meanwhile, this afternoon, what else is going on? Having been in Rome, irritating the Pope, Donald Trump is in Brussels for talks with NATO. Now he's already met the King and Queen of Belgium. Imagine that. Well, that's really good, though. That's the back of the queue where royaldoms are handed out, isn't it, that? What did we get? Belgium. Oh, damn it. Anyway, hello, welcome. It's Thursday the 25th of May. It was on this day, history fans, in 1895 that the poet, playwright and novelist Oscar Wilde was convicted of committing acts of gross indecency with other male persons. But how times have moved on. And rightly so, of course. So to commemorate the wrongful imprisonment of one of our towering literary figures on this, the anniversary of his internment, today we are inviting you to commit an act of gross indecency during the show. That's a caveat to that, though. It should only be something that was considered an act of gross indecency in 1895, and these days is perfectly legal and acceptable between two consenting adults. Let's make that clear. Anything that counts as gross indecency under current law should not, repeat, not be attempted. But anything from 1895 that now, thanks to our tolerant and enlightened society, is completely admissible and positively agreeable to all consensual parties, then feel free. Send us a message. Tell us what you're up to celebrate how far we've come since 1895. It's what Oscar Wilde would have wanted. The anniversary of his imprisonment today. So, hello then, hello. Five. I am John Holmes, welcome along, it's Talk Radio in the afternoons. This is what we do here. On our licence to broadcast that we've been given from Ofcom, it says entertainment. So that's what we're damn well going to be bringing you between now and 4 o'clock. Well, we're going to do our best anyway. So what's on the way? Well, this am. There is a diversity paper review. Let me explain that. That's a paper review. Well, obviously, all programmes do one. But ours is done each day by a different diversity. That's right. It makes us the most diverse programme in broadcasting. Today, Kyle is back. He's Jamaican, English and Welsh. So how do you like that, eh, box tickers? Kyle with us going through the papers later. There's today's big story on the way. Plus, all the current affairs you could possibly want or need evaluated and scrutinised through the medium of short-form Oriental verse. Now, extensive research indicates that when one subjects current affairs to Japanese poetry, it very much shines an Eastern mystical light on our Western understanding of it. And that's why, in a strict, rigid form of 5 syllables, 7 syllables and 5 syllables again, we bring you, throughout the afternoon, the news in haikus. Work experience punditry today comes from, is it Zoe today? I think Zoe, is it Zoe?
Zoe.
Today? Zoe's in today. She's our work experience. She'll be rounding up a week's worth of geeky, gadgety crap. It's a tech review. You know, we do film, we do TV, we do music, we do hipster nonsense. All that stuff on a Thursday, geeky, gadgety crap. New Nokia's out, of course, so I imagine that might feature in it. All your reactions as well. We'll take them. Big debate at 3 o'clock. All the latest election coverage as we shine a light onto another constituency, as we've been doing every day in the run-up to the election. Our political editor of Talk Radio is Cornelius. Hello, Cornelius.
Good morning.
And where are we shining a light, politically speaking, today?
Argyle and Bute.
Great. So join us in Argyle and Bute later as we work our way round the country, round the constituencies with our political editor, Cornelia. Now it's Thursday, so of course it is the return of nobody's favourite radio quiz, where celebrities have their knowledge and patience well and truly tested, pertaining to the life and works of our very own Talk Radio Full Set Breakfast presenter, Paul Ross. It's Paul Rossmaster, just after, well, about 4:15 this afternoon. And we're going to be bringing you guest action. Today's PR exercise, dressed up as an interview. Breaking just after 2 o'clock. The author of Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Many of the books, of course. There are also 4 films, the new ones coming out. So Jeff Kinney, who wrote the thing, he wrote those books. He's going to be with us after 2 o'clock. Yes, as I said, Ginger Dave is not producing. Asprod Cass is through the glass. She's through the
miserable window.
Oh, that's a noise her arm makes.
Yep.
Hi, Cass.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
You enjoying the weather?
Not really.
No, sunshine's the opposite of witches, isn't it?
It is a bit owie.
Yeah. I'm melting.
No, that's when witches have water thrown over them. You're thinking of vampires.
Is that why you smell of an egg so much? Because you don't shower.
At egg.
Chloe,
yeah?
Pour some water on Cass, see if she melts.
Okay. I'll let you know.
All right.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Close on the buttons.
Hi.
And melting a witch.
Yep.
Good. Pete Abbott's got the news. Paid intern Cornelius.
Hello.
Has had a bit of an incident. You've had a bit of a day of it, haven't you?
Oh, God.
So Cornelius left his jacket and his wallet on a train this morning and then quite literally chased the train around London to try and get it back.
Yes.
Yes. Have you got it back yet?
It is not in my hands, but it is in the hands of, I'd like to say, someone I can trust.
Right. And is it winging its way here?
Hopefully so.
Excellent. All right. More on that anon, as it arrives or not. So it's Talk Radio in the afternoons. Hello, good afternoon then. I am John Holmes. Cornelius has also had a clothing fail today. We'll bring you the details of that as well. So anyway, music, of course, it gets us to today's big story. What's today's big story? Well, you need to figure it out. Play along at home. There will be a song. It's production colour. It moves us from the menu there to the big story. But what is the story? The clues are either in the title or the name of the band that I'm about to play. How does this link to today's big story? Animals. Rings around the world. Let's Talk Radio's head of music. That's what I've chosen to play this afternoon to get us to the big story. But how does it link? As I say, play along at home. You're probably feverishly trying to work it out. Cornelius, you've got a question there.
I have a question.
Put your hand up then. Cornelius, you got your hand up.
Yes. John, what's today's story?
No, you're not fooling me like that. You've got to work it out, haven't you?
Okay. Is it?
Super furry animals.
Yes.
Rings around the world.
Okay. Is it about a marriage because of a ring?
Yeah.
Like engagement ring. Or a wedding ring.
Yeah.
It's
not.
Oh, is it about Saturn?
Go on.
because Saturn has a ring around their world.
Yeah.
So Saturn in the news?
No.
Good. Because it wouldn't matter anyway. Is it bloody politics? This bloody general election?
No.
I don't know what it is.
I'll tell you, right. So, super furry animals, right?
Yes.
Where are they from?
Wales.
Yes. And what's Wales famous for?
Sheep.
And?
Hills.
Yes.
Welsh rarebit.
And?
Gold.
Gold?
That's what I just was told.
Right.
Rugby.
No.
Gavin and Stacey.
Gavin and Stacey. No.
Leaks.
Yes!
Okay, I got it.
Yeah, it's the leaks, isn't it? The military leaks. The US security services have been leaking UK stuff. That's what we know about. On the front of all the pages today, of course, MI5 and our security services absolutely, and the quote is incandescent with fury at the idea that American secret services are leaking details passed on to them in good faith by the UK security services to the American press, of course. So we need to be talking about that. Why? How has this come about when they're, you know, we are their allies? What's behind it? What could it mean for international relations? Donald Trump, of course, and Theresa May are meeting today in Brussels at this NATO summit. We're going to need someone to talk to. We'll talk to a guest next. As broadcast is through the glass, it's her job to get a guest. Let's just brief her. Here we go.
Yeah.
Hi, Cass.
What?
Can you get a guest?
On the Welsh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. There you go. Well and truly briefed. We'll talk to somebody about it next. It's Talk Radio in the Afternoons. I'm John Holmes. And nothing has happened. I can see Chloe through the glass pressing buttons, but nothing is happening there. Just... anyway, you know, while Chloe's trying to fix the desk... let me tell you what. Don't press it in the middle of a sentence now, by the way. That'd be really weird, Chloe, if it does start working. All right. Still to come on the programme. This is me filling for time now, by the way. I'm filling for time because have you fixed it? All right, well, press the button. Press it then.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Election 2017. Join the conversation party.
Yes, of course, at once.
Talk Radio.
And now the latest traffic news. There are widespread reports of camels, yes, camels, on roads right across the region. But no hold-ups. Once those camels fill up, they keep going. Like when you fill up with BP Ultimate with active technology. It removes dirt to help your engine perform at its best, so you can keep moving. And finally, reports of more camels on the ring road. Keep moving with BP Ultimate. Green lights all the way.
Benefits achieved over time and may vary due to factors including vehicle type, condition and driving style. See bp.com/ultimate.
My thing? My abs. They're big on Instagram. Well, they were until I dropped a dumbbell on my phone. Anyway, I need a replacement. 12 megapixel camera for maximum muscle definition. But my budget is lower than my body fat ratio. So, you know what? It's got to be refurb.
Russell's thing? It's clearly a refurbished smartphone from eBay. That's as good as new with 12-month seller warranty. Buy refurbished tech on eBay and save up to 50% versus new. eBay. Find your thing.
Dave, this is not the way to the ground. Please put the sat-nav on.
Sat-nav? I don't need that. I'm a human compass, me.
You won't get good odds on what happens next. But for great in-play prices on the footy, get yourself to 10bet.co.uk and score a first deposit bonus of up to £200.
David, I don't think this is Wembley, is it?
When it's time to bet, it's time to 10bet.
Minimum deposit £15. Deposit must be staked in full to qualify. 5 rollovers of deposit and bonus required. Single bets and accas only. Please bet responsibly.
Imagine this. It's time to change your car. Someone offers to buy it. Great, but only if you buy your new car from them. Ugh. Which means you don't have the freedom to shop around for a better deal. Well, that's what happens when you trade your car in. So why not try selling to WeBuyAnyCar.com? Then you'll be a cash buyer, all footloose and fancy-free, off to try and get a better deal on your next car. Imagine that. Enter your reg number now at WeBuyAnyCar.com. Terms and conditions apply. See WeBuyAnyCar.com/info.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
The M62 eastbound remains closed at the moment with queuing traffic following an accident. Two lorries and a van were involved in an accident between Junction 7 for Rainworth Stoops through towards Junction 10 for the Croft Interchange. Congestion, though, back to the Tarbuck Island. On the M5, northbound through Gloucestershire, you'll find two lanes closed and queuing traffic following an accident between a car and a caravan. That's between Junction 11 for Gloucester and Junction 10 for Cheltenham. Congestion stretches back towards Junction 11A for Gloucester and the Brockworth Bypass. I'm Andy Broxton.
Skeletor got £125 cash back at Money's Supermarket, and now he feels like the world's his theatre. So, baby, remember his name! Get £125 cash back when you switch your current account to First Direct Bank. Another exclusive deal from Money's Supermarket. Offer ends July 3rd. For the offer, switch via Money's Supermarket using the current account switch service and deposit £1,000 within 3 months of the account opening. New First Direct customers only. See Money's Supermarket for full T's and C's.
Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Talk Radio, give it some lift.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon. It is Talk Radio. I am John Holmes. Don't forget, by the way, being a Talk Radio station, of course, we are very much open to your reactions. We are a sort of home for reactions. If you've got a reaction, you know, and it's you don't know what to do with it, I suppose, really, and you thought, I've got this reaction. I could recycle it or something, or put it out for the council to pick up. You know, then don't just send it to us. We'll take your reactions, won't we, Cornelius?
Oh, I take a lot of reactions on a daily basis.
And I know, John, a lot have come in, haven't they? What have you got there?
I've taken loads, John. I'm high on them, if you will. Yes. John, I'm glad to hear net migration is down. I bloody hate nets coming over here stealing our fish.
Yep.
That's coming from someone who cares about that. John, free breakfast costing treble isn't a problem at all, because 3 times 0 is still free.
Yeah.
That's still £0.
Thanks.
So.
Right, this, of course, is the Tory manifesto pledge of free breakfasts, of course. Do keep your reactions coming in. Here's the number, 87222.
Start your message with the word talk.
Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you'd like.
Right, let's talk, as we must and should, about today's big story. So, as we've been hearing today, it's all over the front of the papers as well, of course. The UK security services are said to be incandescent with fury. That is a quote after the US security agencies apparently leaked details of Monday's awful attack in Manchester to the press. Now, it's fairly surprising that they, for a start, are allowed to be incandescent of... Certainly incandescent light bulbs are restricted by the EU. So, in fact, what we should be saying for green purposes is that the UK security services are energy-efficient LED with fury at the leaks coming out of America. But not only is that in the news today, of course, but rather flying in the face of all those armchair intolerants on social media who've been saying things like, well, of course, it's all the Muslims, isn't it? Why, they need to report it, don't they, when they suspect one of their own, don't it? That goes all nut job, but they've got to report it, haven't they? Yeah, well, it appears that the answer, of course, is yes, they do, because friends and relatives of Monday's arena attacker did report him for his unorthodox beliefs up to 5 years ago. The papers today full of criticism for MI5, questions being asked about it, of course. So what could have gone wrong? Dr. Christian Gustafsson is a senior lecturer in intelligence studies. He's deputy director of the Brunel Centre for Intelligence and Security Studies. He joins me on the phone. Hello, Christian.
Hi, John.
Thanks for joining us. So, okay, so there's sort of two things to talk about here. Let's start really then with the criticism of MI5 today. The criticism being this person was reported to them, and nothing was done. Did something go wrong?
I mean, it might have done. Until we see more, of course, it's speculation, and speculation's cheap. But, you know, it would seem from what, you know, I've seen, and I've seen pretty much the same thing you have, that various friends and family have over the years, on up to 5 occasions, called the security services and said, you know, we're worried about this chap, or our son, and we suspect him to be up to no good, which should have triggered some response. And, of course, the problem with the security services being able to do with this is there are X many people who are doing nefarious things, you know, X many villains, but they only have so many resources, so much capability to surveil all of them. So it's always a choice on who you surveil. Now, on the surface, this would seem to be a pretty prime candidate, but who knows what other information was there that they were considering and going, well, actually, because of that information, you know, we're not going to prioritize him. We're going to prioritize this guy.
Yeah.
It's really hard to say until more information, and I'm sure with the seriousness of this and the clarity of the information people have set up about him being reported, I'm sure there'll be some sort of inquiry, as there should be.
As there should be indeed, yes, and they will. But you're absolutely right, I think, the amount, just the sheer number of people who must come to their attention for various reasons, which might be communities worried about certain members of their community, it could be intelligence they're gathering themselves, of course. You're right, it's a question of resources at the end of the day. It has to be, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also that very important balance between civil liberties and security. You know, you and I, most of your listeners don't want to live in a state where the security services are everywhere. You want to live in a state where if you're being, you know, if the security services are putting you under surveillance, it's because there's a reason to do so and because that's been approved by the appropriate authorities and judges and warrants. And, you know, if we build, you know, states that have built all-encompassing security services, looking at everyone, you know, there aren't many good examples. You know, we can talk about East Germany, we can talk about the Soviet Union, yeah. We can talk about Ceausescu's Romania. I don't think that's a model any of us want to follow. So, you know, the resources is one question as a matter of scale, but, you know, certainly we don't want to, you know, we don't want to necessarily be in a place where you know, you surveil everyone. That, of course, is an exaggeration of, you know, the particular people that are flagging themselves up.
Yeah.
It's a filter cone, right? People are doing, X many people, a lot of them are doing nasty things on the internet. The vast majority of them won't become suicide bombers.
Yeah.
So you've got to whittle down the people who are looking at villainous websites down to the people who you think are actually making contacts with known villains, down to the people who are actually becoming villains themselves, serious enough and competent enough and connected enough that you're actually going to dedicate resources to them. And that whole cone, that forcing cone, there's a lot of decisions to be made along the way about who you're going to follow and who you're not. And maybe you follow someone, and you know, maybe it turns out that he was put under surveillance for a while, and it turned out that there was nothing further, and they couldn't sustain the surveillance.
Yeah.
It's easy after the fact to say, oh, well, we should have seen all these.
Well, that's it. You're absolutely right. That's it, isn't it? It's a case of people feeling sort of rightly angry about it. But, of course, we will never know the details anyway, as, you know, mere muggles, if you like. You know, this stuff goes on behind the scenes, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
We're never going to hear exactly necessarily what happened in that situation.
Unless the Americans leak it.
Yeah, exactly. Which brings me on to my next question. Nicely done. The word unprecedented these days is bandied around a lot, but the idea of the US security services leaking information they've been given by the UK, we've not heard of this before, have we?
Your listeners may be familiar with the concept of the Five Eyes community. So Britain, the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand are the sort of oldest intelligence sharing arrangements and the most sort of trust-based.
Yeah.
So, you know, those Anglo-Saxon countries share, you know, almost all of their intelligence with each other, especially in terms of counter-terror stuff. There have been lapses over the years, principally by moles, so one country or another. Of course, Britain famously had the Cambridge Five. We had Blake.
Yep.
The Americans had Ames and those guys. They have leaked information that has led to the death of, security service officers and agents and things like that.
But this leaking to the press, I mean, this is, you know, it's almost seemed like a direct route of going, yeah, we're sharing intelligence because that's what we do, because we're the allies. And then all of a sudden it's in the New York Times.
Yeah, I'm off the top of my head, I can't think of an example where there was a seemingly purposeful leak out of, secure data, which would have been held in a secure facility.
But what would be anybody's motive for it?
If you look at the U.S. political scene right now, you know, you can see that there's a deep polarization, a deep separation between those poles on, you know, the meaning of immigration and all the sort of things that we in the U.K. might hold up as pillars of the liberal state.
Yeah.
Of course, the word liberal in the U.S. is well nigh a dirty word for 51-point-whatever% of the population.
Yeah.
It could very well be, and again, speculation, it's cheap, there is some particularly politically motivated person, and that could be a working level, or it could be someone higher up, who thought this would be a good point to score about
immigration in America and
about immigration in America. Yeah, to spool that up to make the wall more easy to build.
And does now, it?
One might say that this serves Trump well, but that doesn't necessarily ascribe a particular blame.
Well, we still wait, of course, to find out what exactly Theresa May is going to be saying to Donald Trump there in Brussels, of course, for the NATO summit. Does it damage the relationship between the allies? This.
You know, there's, again, as I pointed out, there's been a lot of ups and downs over the years. The relationship may be a bit tetchy for a little while, but ultimately the value of the Five Eyes community is so great to all the parties that and is so ingrained from working level up to top level that, you know, there are bumps, but it should normally go back to a pretty open sharing agreement.
Okay.
You know, whether in the longer term under the Trump administration with certain twists and turns, it might go a little more, you know, the tap might be turned a little bit off, but, you know, I would say it's too much value.
And ultimately, it's in everybody's interest to share this stuff, you know, on a global level.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Especially counter-terror information.
Of course. All right, thank you. Dr. Christian Gustafson there. He's Deputy Director of the Brunel Centre for Intelligence and Security Studies. In the next half an hour of the programme, the papers, we'll be going through them with Kyle. It's our diversity paper review. After 2 o'clock, Jeff Kinney joins us. He is the author of the Diary of a Wimpy Kid books. There's the big debate at three, and later on, we will be playing a game of Paul Rossmaster. Celebrities tested as to their knowledge of Full Set Talk Radio Breakfast presenter Paul Ross. That's going to be happening at around 3:45 this Thursday afternoon. It's just after 1:30 now, though. Here's Pete Abbott, and he's got the latest news for you.
Talk Radio.
The UK has fallen silent this morning to remember the victims of the Manchester Arena terror attack. Crowds gathered across the city to pay their respects at 11 a.m, including at Greater Manchester Police Headquarters, the Royal Manchester Children's Hospital and at St Anne's Square, where these people explained why they took part.
I just wanted to come and see the love that there is and the, you know, unity that there is. And we're so proud of Manchester.
I feel very sad about everybody who's been involved in this.
I feel so sorry for them. Be took so young like that.
The Prime Minister says the terror threat level in the UK is to remain at its highest rating and we should all stay vigilant. It was increased to critical on Tuesday evening, 24 hours after the Manchester attack.
I have just chaired a meeting of COBRA where I was updated on the extraordinary response of the police and emergency services to Monday's horrific attack. The police have confirmed that 8 suspects remain in custody and that progress is being made in the case.
Police investigating the attack say significant arrests have been made and important items seized during raids. 8 people are now being questioned in the UK about Monday's atrocity. In other news, UKIP has restarted general election campaigning after it was suspended following the attack. The party is promising to fund 20,000 extra troops and police officers, as well as 7,000 more prison officers. Fred Talbot's been convicted of a string of historical sex offences against boys. The former TV weatherman, who's 67, carried out the attacks during trips to Scotland when he was a teacher in the 70s and 80s. And net long-term migration to the UK fell by 84,000 last year. It was estimated to be 248,000 in 2016. Today's weather, another dry day with plenty of sunshine. Temperatures will soar with highs of 27 degrees centigrade. And there's more news in half an hour.
What's the outlook for the weekend, the bank holiday weekend, Pete? Do you know?
It's not looking as good, actually, as we've got now. It's still going to be fairly hot, I think. But it's going to be a lot of rain heading our way. So make the most of the next couple of days.
All right, good. Spoken like a true news person, that as well, wasn't it? Quite like
it is very good, very professional.
Well, it is, and also that
we're not used to it.
I said that earlier, and it's like, you know, when you watch like the regional news, you know, after the 10 o'clock news at night or whatever, regional news comes on, doesn't it? And there's a little light-hearted banter with the weather person, isn't there?
Yeah, there
or
is.
The newsreader sort of finishes, turns, and goes, "Oh, so and so, Rachel, what's in the weather?" And then there's a little bit of sort of, just like you did then, you know, but we played that very well.
Unless there's a hurricane coming, then the banter tends to go out the window.
Yeah. Do let us know if that happens, if you would check. Thank you, Pete. That's Pete Abbott there with the news and the weather. He'll be back at 2 o'clock, of course. Talk Radio in the afternoons. It's Thursday. I'm John Holmes. Live read coming next.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Election Countdown with Paul Ross on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
It's me, Paul Ross, chucking a load of old ballots. In the run-up to the general election, I'm with you every Sunday from 11 till 3, so join me and we'll talk about what a week that was.
Plus, look ahead to the big stories set to hit the headlines in the coming days. From Brexit to the budget, immigration to education. Better call Paul and get your voice heard. Election Countdown with Paul Ross this Sunday morning from 11 on your election station, Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Yeah, so we've got to do this live read. Now, this happens occasionally. Explain what a live read is, Cornelius. You know, you're in production. It's something...
It's quite simple, John, and I've explained it to you in a number of meetings. Yeah. Basically,
I don't really listen in those meetings.
Yeah, we give you something to read that is an obligation, be it a sponsorship or perhaps just cross-promotion for the station.
Yeah.
You read it out, pretend you're interested in it, and we quickly sweep it away and then move on with the rest of the show.
Yeah, that's more or less what it is. Well, I've been livening them up because
I know, that's why we had those meetings, remember?
Yeah, but the thing is that you find that they're quite, quite boring normally.
Well, yeah, that's like... why people just do it really quickly and then get on with the rest of their show.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I've got one to do for Paul Ross, all right? So what I was going to do was I'm just trying to find something to liven it up here, and I realised I probably should have researched this earlier. All right, so just bear with me.
Just read it, and then we get on with the
it's quite
the content that we've actually prepared.
So let's just looking something up because I thought I can add to the ambiance.
Probably
of the,
not though.
Let's have a look because yesterday we livened it up with a bit of Terminator 2, didn't we? So I just thought this could. Sorry, I should have printed this off and I didn't, but, you know, just bear with me. Just can't find the...
What are you looking for?
I'm just looking for the... hang on. Just looking for the beginning of...
And you're trying to make this live read less dull, and what you're doing is just Googling on your phone on air.
Yeah.
And not really talking aloud.
Yeah, I can't find it, though, what I needed.
Well...
I mean, I realise it's quite quiet now.
Yeah, so...
Yeah. Yeah, so, hang on. No, it'll be worth the wait, I promise. Because otherwise I've just got to read this thing about Paul Ross is not very interesting.
Well, it is quite interesting. Can you sell it a bit?
Hang on. You're honestly, it'll be worth the wait. But I honestly wish I'd Googled this earlier. Just bear with me.
Yeah, well, I don't really know
The signal's not very good in here, so...
What else to do? Why don't we just read it and then get on with the show?
I've got it now.
Right.
You ready?
Okay, it best be worth it.
Oh, it will be. You ready?
Yes!
Right, Paul Ross live read.
From the dawn of time he came. Paul Ross's.
What is this, though?
Thailand.
It doesn't say that on the live read. You don't add to it.
From the dawn of time he came. Paul Ross. Moving silently down through the centuries. Living many secret lives. He did that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Struggling to reach the time of the gathering when the few who remain will battle to the last. No one has ever known we were among you. Until now.
Here we are, born to be kings. We're the princes of the universe.
Next week.
Here we belong.
Paul Ross. Is going on tour. Full Set Breakfast. With a general election just around the corner, Paul will be in a different place each day, covering marginal constituencies in England, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. Join Paul and the team Monday morning from their first location on the south coast, Brighton. Joined by candidates and local voices.
We're the princes of the universe.
Finding out which way the UK will be voting on June the 8th.
We've got to be the rulers of your world.
Paul Ross. The Marginal Mystery Tour. All next week on the Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast Show on Talk Radio.
I am immortal.
He's immortal.
Inside me, blood of kings.
Yeah. He's got inside him the blood of kings. Oh. And some meow meow and stuff. He's got the blood of kings and the meow meow of an English teacher. Paul Ross goes round about the country. I think that livened that up. Again, but I've heard other presenters read that out, and they just read it, and they don't sound like they're interested.
Well...
At all. I mean, at all. I mean, they just sort of go...
That's a problem for their producers.
Paul Ross.
Yeah, but remember
but
the
I've
whole
just,
bit...
I've just drawn some attention to that.
Yeah,
and I bigged it up.
Remember the whole bit about the waiting and finding that thing at first? Was that good radio?
No, but I'll hold my hands up and say I should have looked Googled that first.
We're quite late as well for the adverts.
But I think
people desperate. People will agree. Traffic and travel update.
People will agree that it was worth the wait. Anyway, Paul Ross, he's touring the country next week. The breakfast show is live from around the country there. Later, we'll play Paul Ross Master.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. All good. Right, OK, we'll go through the papers after the traffic and travel, which Cornelius insists is so popular. And Kyle's here to do it. It's Talk Radio in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
We are Talk.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
Right, that's it. This relationship is over.
Eric.
When I think of the money I spent on you. But it was never enough, was it? There was always something else. What was it you had to have last time?
Eric.
A starter motor.
At Van Monster, every van is covered by our price match promise, our unique 5-day money-back guarantee, and includes a 6-month warranty. Terms and conditions apply. Find your perfect work partner at vanmonster.com.
I'm leaving you for a younger van.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check. Stephen Saunders from Nottingham received £1,856 on his credit card.
I wasn't sure whether I'd pay PPI on my credit card. Stanton Fisher did everything for me and took control of the claim. I would happily recommend Stanton Fisher to friends and family.
So text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI.com?
That's CHECK to 80800.
You know the saying, blink and you'll miss it? Well, you could use it for TalkTalk's Fibre Flash sale. Because for a very short time, you can get TalkTalk Fibre, which is 4 times faster than standard ADSL broadband, for just £25 a month, including line rental, for 2 whole years. It's Britain's lowest priced fibre compared to Sky, BT and Virgin over 24 months, saving you up to £535 versus BT. But hurry, the flash sale ends June the 1st. Search TalkTalk Fibre and join now. TalkTalk. For everyone.
Comparison with BT excludes voucher and is based on TalkTalk's faster up to 38 meg and BT's Infinity One up to 52 meg packages. Contract and conditions apply.
Where do you search for greatness? Hiring the right people can transform a business. But where are they? Indeed has more candidates than any other job site in the UK. Start your search for greatness by posting a job on Indeed.com today. Terms, conditions and quality standards apply. UK's number one job site based on total unique visitors to Indeed.com, according to Comscore.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
The M62 remains closed eastbound for the moment. Severe delays to be found anywhere really between Junction 7 for Rainhill Stoops and Junction 10 for the Croft interchange. It's congested, though, back towards Junction 6 for the Tarbuck Island. Recovery there has completed, but a clean-up of the road is still ongoing. M5 heading northbound through Gloucestershire. Got 2 lanes closed and queuing traffic following an accident between a car and a caravan between Junction 11 for Gloucester through towards Cheltenham. Congestion, though, is back towards Junction 11A. I'm Andy Broxton.
Skeletor got £125 cash back at Money Supermarket, and now he feels like the world's his theatre. So, baby, remember his name! Get £125 cash back when you switch your current account to First Direct Bank. Another exclusive deal from Money Supermarket. Offer ends July 3rd. For the offer, switch via Money Supermarket using the current account switch service and deposit £1,000 within 3 months of the account opening. New First Direct customers only. See Money Supermarket for full T's and C's.
Greetings, Earthlings. We come in peace. We wish to communicate with your leader.
I'm Howard Hughes. Join me this Sunday night from 10 for a trip into the outer limits.
Untwist the lid on Talk Radio's specimen jar of the psychic, the supernatural, and the simply unexplained.
The Unexplained with Howard Hughes. Sunday night from 10, Earth Time, on
Talk Radio.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, good afternoon. It is Talk Radio. I am John Holmes, yes. Now, a lot going on this afternoon, of course, news-wise. UKIP have joined back, first of the parties back into the election campaigning fray, I suppose.
Good sentence.
Thanks. Have launched their manifesto this morning. The numbers of the people injured in the Manchester attack, of course, are 23 people currently in critical care. That's the latest number we have. The Queen visited the Children's Hospital in Manchester this morning. There's a lot going on in the news all over the place, of course. Donald Trump is in Brussels, having met the King and Queen of Belgium, which I'm sure thrilled them enormously. And Theresa May is over there as well, and she is going to be talking to Donald Trump about those leaks between the US Security Service of the UK to the press in America. What I'm getting at is that the news is quite complicated.
Oh, I can't get my head around it.
No, well, many people can't, Cornelius, and we're here to help, as you know, because we take the news on this programme, and rather than subject it to Andrew Marr or something, what we do instead is take it into the world of Eastern mysticism by taking that current affairs and running it through the gauntlet of, the medieval samurai gauntlet. Oh, that's, I suppose that'll work. Of Japanese poetry. It's five syllables, seven syllables, and five syllables. It's the news in haikus.
RSPCA, warn against leaving dogs in cars. Cats are fine though.
Don't do it, kids. That's not the official advice.
No, that was a joke.
It's not the official advice. Don't leave a cat in a car.
No.
Just to be clear on that.
Just a little bit of fun.
Yeah, a wasp or something someone no one likes. Leave that in a car. Spider, something. Something someone doesn't like, you know. Wasp or a spider.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. Right, good. All right, it's time, but nothing else. It's time for the diversity paper review. So we go through the papers, of course we do on the programme. That's par for the media outlet course, isn't it? But what we do each day is bring you the papers through the eyes of a different diversity. Makes us the most diverse programme in broadcasting. We welcome back Kyle. Remind us, Kyle, of your diversity.
I am English, Jamaican and Welsh.
Which is excellent news. Right, what newspaper are we starting with?
We're starting with the Metro today.
Okay.
We're going to go a bit nostalgic. As a Finnish firm, HMD Global, has relaunched the Nokia 3310.
Yes, apparently so.
An absolute classic.
Yeah. Everybody had one, didn't they?
Everyone had one. They were amazing because they were pretty much indestructible.
Yeah.
The battery life lasted a month without charging.
This is the one with the snake on it.
The snake, yeah. That's what got me so excited about this, the fact that I could go back and play the old school snake. Yeah.
I've still got my original one.
The original?
Yeah.
I bet you haven't charged it up.
Well, I haven't. I'm thinking about it. I might charge it up. Do you think it'll still work? Could I just buy a SIM card for it, or is it completely different inside to them now?
I'm sure you could.
I don't know.
No, so I use one of those little phones, because you can still buy, like, old phones that haven't
been... Yeah, yeah, because you like a burner, don't you, Cornelius, for your nefarious activities?
For music festivals. Yeah. So you only have to charge it up before you go, and then it will last the whole weekend.
Right.
A burner. And basically, the SIM cards have gotten a lot smaller.
Yeah.
But you can get the same shape, and you can get so you can adapt them.
Right,
get adapters.
So I could just fire up my old Nokia, then.
Maybe it might be a bit dusty. So I had one that I haven't used since Glastonbury last year. I got it out the other day because I was going to use it, but the battery's just exploded. So
right,
I don't know why.
It's a Galaxy, then, is it?
No, it hasn't really exploded. It's like really expanded, so now it won't fit in. Don't know why.
Great. All right. Well, anyway. So, but you're an enthusiast.
I'm very enthusiastic about this phone. Yeah. I mean, when I first heard it launch, I got really excited because it did take me back to. But it's just the old schoolness about it. They've not really changed it. They've made it thinner. It's pretty much the same sort of design.
Yeah.
And it still has the retro keypad.
Yeah.
So you have to press each letter like 4 or 5 times
to get the right letter.
Yeah. And it's. Yeah.
Do you think it'll catch on though?
Yeah.
But people won't buy them they'll buy them alongside their.
It's only 50 quid. So
yeah.
For like Connelly says, for those like festivals where you go, you don't want to take your 700 quid phone or whatnot. And get it lost. You buy one of these and then you sort it.
Yeah.
I'm worried that they're not going to sell the £10 phones that I buy for these festivals now. They're
the £10 flip up ones.
No, they're in fashion now, so they're 50 quid.
Yeah.
That's what I'm worried about.
Might do. It might rock it up on the cheap phones.
Mm.
But it's great though because it takes you back. It's not got there's no Wi-Fi. There's no smart camera. So it is, you know, if you're sick of always staring down at your phone, always on Facebook.
Do you know what? I've got to the point now where I deliberately just put it aside. Now.
Yeah.
Because I think we all, you know, you do get the point where you start to get slight phone if you don't know where it is or you know you haven't looked at it for a bit.
You lose your mind. You check your pockets. Like, oh,
yeah.
Where is it? And you just go mental.
So I got to the point now where I sort of don't necessarily, unless it's for work.
Yeah.
When I will check because you know we have to send messages for work and all this kind of stuff. But other than that, in the evenings, or whatever, I don't necessarily look at it particularly now.
No, I mean that's when I'm at my worst. Evenings.
Is it?
Yeah, I can't do anything without my phone, which is why I'm tempted to get this because then that's it. You're back to the old school texting, phone calls. That's it.
Yeah. Would you lock your other phone away just to go a bit cold turkey on it?
Well, what I'd probably do is take my SIM card out.
Yeah.
So then I'd have my music on that phone and then have the 3310 as my main phone.
I can't remember, it had Snake.
It had Snake.
But it didn't do anything else.
No, not really.
You could get like polyphonic ringtones.
Polyphonic ringtones. They had the setup where you could actually, you could key in the notes and you could create your own ringtones.
You could copy, like on the internet they would have. So basically, you're just typing in the code.
Yeah, they'd have the sheets of songs.
Yeah, yeah. So you could just copy and paste it onto your phone.
I remember
and then
spending
it would start
hours.
Playing like a really rubbish tone version of your song.
Oh, wouldn't it be great if this was the beginning of a retro where really we just started now regressing in all technology?
Oh, I'd love
peak,
it.
We'd reach peak annoyance of
yeah,
technology.
Yeah, you think like the 3310's coming out. You've got the original Nintendo. They're trying to bring the Super Nintendo back out again.
Right.
All these old school sort of toys games.
Yoghurt pots with string. That's all we need.
Brilliant. Why tin cans this? And a bit of string from your treehouse.
This constant barrage of information. We don't need it.
Don't need it.
Come on.
Let's go back to basics.
What else you got, Kyle?
I have got... We're moving from the old to the new. The world's first operational RoboCop has hit the streets in Dubai.
20 seconds to comply.
Oh, it's going to... It's the start of what could be the end.
Go on.
I mean, it was unveiled during the Gulf Information Security Expo and Conference in Dubai. It stands at 5 foot 5 inches, weighs 100 kilograms, speaks 6 languages, and is designed to read facial expressions.
Ah.
So it's been built with a built-in tablet, so you can pay fines and report crimes.
Can you play Snake on it?
You can't.
Oh, it's annoying.
Which I'm gutted they've not included. But apparently, Dubai are planning to make a quarter of their police force. Robots by 2030.
But are they like the one in RoboCop? I mean, are they like armed and stuff?
Not armed, but it does. It is very humanoid. I mean, it's got head, shoulders, arms, legs, and everything.
I want one like the one in Robo. I want
the big beast with the rocket launchers and everything. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
we're gonna do it. Do it properly.
Well, there was the exoskeleton suit that we spoke about a few months ago from the Avatar kind. So you know, maybe they're gonna. Fuse them together.
Oh.
Have RoboCop riding the Robo mount.
But it's going to happen.
Terminator's coming.
Yeah,
Terminator is happening.
Yeah, some old Nokia gets sentient, and somehow works out how to release snakes.
Oh my God!
From zoos and jungles.
That's it. They've released the Nokia 3310 to work hand in hand with RoboCop.
Yeah. It's basically Skynet.
It is Skynet.
All right, final story.
We have an asteroid which could collapse the world's economy.
Right.
So 16 Psyche, one of the most mysterious objects in the solar system at the moment.
Why is it mysterious?
Well, it's It's a 130-mile wide chunk of metal, basically. It's made up of iron, nickel, and a number of other rare elements, including gold, platinum, and copper.
Right.
But the reason why everyone's kind of worried about it is that it's been valued at, it's been valued at $10,000 quadrillion.
Wow.
That's loads.
That is a lot. Well, considering the world's economy is worth, what, $73.7 trillion, they say that if they do decide to, even just a chunk of it back,
yeah,
that the need for, obviously, resources but if I was, this, now, if I on was, this planet would just crumble.
If I was a burglar, right, or a thief, okay, yeah, and I'm not saying that I am, right, but if I was, right, I would concentrate all my resources now, not on the back of a motorbike trying to steal diamonds from out of a jeweller's,
no,
or trying to drill through a Hatton Garden vault.
Yeah.
I would concentrate all my resources on stealing an asteroid out of the sky.
For sure. Well, I mean, you would have to travel 230 million miles to get it.
These are just logistics, Kyle. These are logistics. Think of those old blokes that managed to drill through a wall and no one said, everyone thought you couldn't do that.
That is true. That is true. Well, you just got to find yourself a rocket that can get you to between Mars and Jupiter.
There's got to be a film in this where some old lags, so you know, it's like Michael Caine, isn't it? Ray Winston or something.
Yeah, well, that film was released. I can't remember what it's called, but with, what's his name? Morgan Freeman, Michael Caine,
oh,
and
yeah,
that other guy, yeah.
Yeah, so they just get, so it's like Armageddon meets the Hatton Garden film, yeah. Right? Gardengeddon. I don't know what it's called. Anyway, but they go up into space. I'm going to write this. They go up into space, right?
Yeah.
And they steal that asteroid to become the richest people in
you
the universe.
Just hide it in your back garden.
Yeah.
Is it theft, though? Because who does it belong to?
Well, there you go. Exactly. So no court could touch them, Cornelius.
It would be like conquering, wouldn't it? Just stick a flag in its arse now.
Bring it back down. Right, there you go. We're the richest people. What are you going to do about it? See?
Nothing.
Mm. I mean, admittedly, I haven't worked out the film's ending, but that takes the journey to get there.
But then NASA say that they aren't planning to bring it back; they're just planning to mine it.
I'd tow it back.
Yeah, you would though, wouldn't you? But apparently, it could have water on it as well, amongst all these other minerals. So they're thinking of using it as like a stop off, like a service station on the way to Mars.
I'd get that. They need to lash a rope around it, drag it back down. You could solve everything.
Yeah,
poverty.
Literally everything.
I'm surprised Bono's not involved. Make politics.
Surely you can't, though, because who's going to buy it?
You come down.
You could do it like the diamond industry. It could be a private corporation that then invests whatever they make. But then again,
but who's buying it?
Who's buying? What do you mean who's buying?
Just,
it?
Just chip bits off and hand it out. We're all rich. It's fine. What are you talking about?
You just
why would you mine like the coal mines and everything that we have on this planet when you can just bring an asteroid and then just chip it off from that?
There's not enough money in the world collectively to buy what's in that thing, the comet.
We don't need to buy it.
Is that? But where's the money being made then?
The minerals.
No, we just change the currency. We all just have bits of asteroids to pay with instead of coins. I mean, admittedly, you're going to have to alter car parking machines to make that happen, but that's a small price to pay. They're doing that with the pound anyway. So.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They may as well do it all
at the
same time.
And the global currency just becomes bit of asteroid. So, you know, I'd like a new Nokia 3310, please. How much is that? Oh, it's one bit of asteroid. There you go. Thank you.
That's a bit pricey.
It's like a
quarter of an asteroid.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Anyway, listen, Carl, thank you very much for that. Kyle there, remind us of your diversity.
English, Jamaican and Welsh.
That's right. It's the Diversity Paper Review. Right, in the next bit of the programme, we'll be talking to Jeff Kinney. Jeff Kinney is the author of Diary of a Wimpy Kid. You're probably familiar with the books and indeed the films. One's coming out now, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul. It's the fourth one in the series. Anyway, he's going to be joining us to chat about that after 2 o'clock. There's also today, all of your reactions, of course. The big debate at 3 o'clock. Work experience punditry at 2:30, where our work experience comes in to review stuff. And do not forget, we will be bringing you more election coverage as we continue our journey round the country, throwing a spotlight onto various constituencies with our political editor, Cornelius. And we're going today to Argyll and Bute. I can't wait either. Right, Talk Radio Afternoons. I'm John Holmes. Pete Abbott's going to have the news next.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Join the conversation party. Talk Radio.
You know the saying, blink and you'll miss it? Well, you could use it for TalkTalk's fibre flash sale. Because for a very short time, you can get TalkTalk fibre, which is four times faster than standard ADSL broadband, for just £25 a month, including line rental, for 2 whole years. It's Britain's lowest priced fibre compared to Sky, BT and Virgin over 24 months, saving you up to £535 versus BT. But hurry, the flash sale ends June the 1st. Search TalkTalk fibre and join now. TalkTalk. For everyone.
Comparison with BT excludes voucher and is based on TalkTalk's faster up to 38 meg and BT's Infinity One up to 52 meg packages. Contract and conditions apply.
Spring collection sofas are up to half price at DFS. But you better be quick because savings on selected sofas end bank holiday Monday. DFS.
Hi, my suitcase hasn't arrived. I've been waiting ages.
Let's check the system. Was it a direct flight?
Connecting. I stopped in Bangkok.
And before that?
Well, the Maldives, yes. And Dubai, Barbados, okay. Koh Samui. Oh, and that amazing volcano in Bali.
Nicer problems to have. This Friday, there's a £112 million EuroMillions jackpot. And you can also win the best of Japan. And £1 million cash. Get your tickets for Friday's event. EuroMillions. Only from the National Lottery. Estimated jackpot. Game-specific rules available at nationallottery.co.uk. Rules and procedures apply. My players must be 16 or over.
Listen. Do you hear that? That's the sound of nothing. Sounds nice, doesn't it? At Ford, we like the sweet sound of nothing, too. That's why we now have 0% APR representative across our Ford car range on 3-year Ford options. Visit your nearest participating Ford dealer today. Ford. Go further.
Retail only. Vehicles to be contracted from April the 1st to June the 30th, 2017 and registered between April the 1st and September the 30th, 2017. Finance subject to status. Guarantees may be required. Free post Ford credit. Exclude selected models. Please contact your Ford dealer for more information.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A radio star is born.
You're going to love
Talk Radio. Talk Radio.
At 3 minutes past 2 o'clock. Good afternoon, I'm John Holmes. Here's Pete with the news.
Thank you. Coming up, 8 people now held over Manchester terror attack. UK terror level threat to stay at critical. And UKIP launches election manifesto.
Talk Radio.
Police investigating the Manchester terror attack say significant arrests have been made and important items seized during raids. 8 men are now being questioned in the UK about Monday's atrocity. Theresa May will raise the issue of leaks in American media from the inquiry when she meets President Trump in Brussels later today. Greater Manchester Police Chief Constable Ian Hopkins says victims' families were told last night that an American newspaper had got hold of photos from the crime scene.
It is absolutely understandable the distress and upset that this caused to those families who are already suffering, as everyone can imagine. A statement was issued last night by National Counter-Terrorism Police Network, and I do not wish to add anything further to that at this stage.
Meanwhile, the Queen has been meeting victims of the Manchester terror attack. She's also been able to talk to staff at the Royal Children's Hospital in the city to thank them for their response to the tragedy. Elsewhere, UKIP has launched its election manifesto at an event which saw party activists try to shout down questions from journalists. Leader Paul Nuttall called Islamic fundamentalism one of the major issues facing politicians in the coming years. He announced pledges for 20,000 extra troops and police officers, as well as 7,000 more prison officers. The party's deputy chair, Suzanne Evans, also criticised Theresa May for presiding over police cuts when she was Home Secretary.
I think she must bear some responsibility. All politicians who voted for measures to make cuts bear some responsibility. When 9/11 happened, we should have had a serious rethink about immigration. It didn't happen.
And Fred Talbot has been convicted of a string of historical sex offences against boys. The former TV weatherman, who's 67, carried out the attacks during trips to Scotland when he was a teacher in the 70s and 80s. Meanwhile, former DJ Jonathan King has been charged with 18 sexual offences allegedly carried out between 1970 and 1986.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Staying mostly sunny this afternoon, parts of North Wales and Lancashire are likely to be the hottest today, with highs of 29 degrees Celsius.
Thank you very much, Pete. There's Pete Abbott, with the news. And now here's, it's Tim Humphrey, isn't it? Tim Humphrey with the pre-recorded sport.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Tim Humphrey. Wayne Rooney has been left out of the England squad. He won't feature for Gareth Southgate's side against Scotland in a World Cup qualifier at Hampden or in the friendly with France. Tottenham right-back Kieran Trippier has been called up for the first time, with Stoke goalkeeper Jack Butland back after injury. Wales manager Chris Coleman says they're not overly worried about facing Serbia in their World Cup qualifier without star man Gareth Bale. The Real Madrid forward is suspended for the time Belgrade after picking up too many yellow cards. Wales need a win. They're sitting 4 points off the top two in their bid to get to Russia. Coleman says they planned for Bale's absence.
We've known. It's not been sprung on us. We've known for some time he's not going to be with us. So it's good for us as well. When you have a player that good, everybody wants to talk about that player, and rightly so. He's earned that. It's a good challenge for us now without him being with us. And can we handle it?
Everton defender Gethin Jones has been called up by Wales. He's also attracted interest from Australia, where he was born. And in the last half hour, we've heard that Leeds manager Gary Monk has resigned. That's your latest sport, powered by TalkSport.
There he was, Tim Humphrey there with his latest sport, powered by TalkSport, and pre-recorded about half an hour ago. Still to come on the programme, a game of Paul Rossmaster. This week's edition is around 4:45. Big debate at 3 o'clock, work experience punditry on the way at 2:30. We'll talk to American author Jeff Kinney next on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon, you are listening to Talk Radio. I am John Holmes, and I promised you guest action. Guest action is what I deliver once again. I never renege on my promises, Jeff Kinney. I never. If I promise a guest, I deliver it, frankly. American author, cartoonist, of course, Jeff Kinney. You'll know him from inventing Diary of a Wimpy Kid, and it's ongoing. Well, it's a franchise now, isn't it? It's proper.
A franchise. Is a property. Is that what we call it now? That's terrible.
Yeah. It's been a huge success. I mean, when was the first one?
The first one was published 10 years ago.
2007, yeah. So that's been some 10 years, though, in terms of a success level.
It has been a lot of fun, yeah.
Because you can't throw anything at a child without hitting one that's read Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Can you?
Is that how you measure things around here?
It's how we do it in Britain. Yeah.
I see. It's different.
But when you started out doing it, and I know you've been asked these questions before, based on you and your family and all this kind of stuff, but when you started out doing it, I mean, what was the first thing you sat down and you thought, right, blank sheet of paper, where are we going?
I thought Diary of a Wimpy Kid. I had the name, the title, the name of the character right in my head. I had tried for a few years to become a newspaper cartoonist and couldn't break in, and I was like burning to become a cartoonist, and I didn't know how. So I took away the thing that was the most important, which was newspapers.
Yeah.
I said, now I'm a cartoonist sort of without a home. And so I found a home in this diary format. And I got really lucky. I worked on it for 8 years and then got published. So it's been a lot of fun.
And it was a success fairly quickly, wasn't it, as well?
It got on the New York Times bestseller list 2 weeks after it came out. Yeah. And it's been on more or less consistently for... I think 510 weeks or something like that. Yeah.
And movies as well, of course.
Yeah, four movies. About. Yeah.
So the latest is Long Haul.
Yes, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul.
Right. It's based on book number nine.
Yeah, if you're keeping score at home. Right.
Yeah. So how do you... Because I always get puzzled when they say, oh, there's a new Jack Reacher film. And you go, all right. And they go, but it's based on book 17. Or something. Right. And you just go, why is it just based on book two? Why are they doing it in order? Why aren't you doing it in order?
Because you don't need to do it in order. Right. And also because we're trying to tell a different kind of story. We knew we had to recast this movie, so we needed to get the Heffleys out of their home environment. We didn't want to invite so many comparisons.
Yeah.
So we thought it would be a great idea to get them on the road.
Yeah. So for those that don't know and haven't seen it yet, so tell us, briefly what the plot of this one is then.
Sure. Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul is about the family trying to get to Meemaw's 90th birthday party, which is halfway across the country. And Greg wants to go to a video game convention. So he sort of sets them off course a bit. And so it's all about the conflict of the family goal versus Greg's goal.
Yeah. And in terms of that family dynamic, I mean, that's evolved over time as well, I guess. Because we're 10 years on now, and family dynamics are different because kids now have gadgets.
They do.
And so that rears up in it, of course.
That's right. Yeah. In my books, I try to keep technology out of it as much as possible. We know that Greg plays video games, but I don't talk about the specifics. And my rule in writing the books is always that it could have happened 20 years ago, it could happen 20 years from now. So in this movie, in the movie, you have to get a little bit more specific about technology. So we really hit this idea of cell phones and gadgets and the fact that everybody's addicted really head on.
Yeah. And they are. I mean, do you find that now? I mean, you can't go into it. I mean, how you've got kids, haven't you?
Yeah.
How old are they?
14. 13 and 11.
Okay, so they're kind of prime age, I guess, for this sort of stuff. Do you have a rule? Because mine are 7 and 5.
Yeah.
Right? So I have a rule of, you know, if you go out to a restaurant or whatever it might be, or, yeah, you know, there's no gadgets allowed, right? It's old school analogue colouring book or nothing.
Wow.
Right? And they love that, though. They're not interested in the gadget stuff. I see. So I've kept it away from them.
Yeah, our rule for restaurants is that they have to be on the gadget.
Just to keep them quiet.
Yeah, right. I think we're the opposite. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But break out the colouring books, Jeff, is what I'm saying.
So I see. Yeah. I don't think that's going to work for my 6'2", 14-year-old.
Probably not. Right. And they've read the books, presumably. Okay.
They have.
Yeah. What age did they start reading them?
They started reading them pretty early on. And I remember my younger kid, he was 7 when he first read them. And I was a little too young because he didn't quite get it, and it frustrated him. And then a year later, he could really understand. It's because the tone is a bit subversive. It's a little bit arch, and Greg's an unreliable narrator, and if you can't understand that, then it's hard to understand the books.
Yeah, I suppose you've got it. But once you sort of, you know, they flow as people put them down, and then what they want the next one. I mean, that's kind of what's happened, isn't it?
Right, it's like, literary crack.
Can you keep up, though, with the demand? Or are you like George R. R. Martin? And frankly, you've been overtaken with Game of Thrones, and he can't keep up with the writing.
I love that he just says, you know what, I would be writing, but I get all these invitations to do all these cool things, you know. It's like, how could I turn those down? It's like, boy.
At least he's honest.
I think that, you know, the entertainment world's just given up on him progressing the plot.
It'll be interesting to see when, you know, the diversion of the TV show, and then the book's going a completely different way. But do you have to be disciplined when you write them? Do you sort of have a space to go and do it and all that kind of stuff? So what's your process?
I actually have to be the opposite of discipline. I have to be as random as possible. So last year, for example, I went to the airport. I knew I was going to write. I had my bags packed for Florida because I thought I'd probably go someplace warm.
Yeah.
Didn't have a plane ticket. And then at the last second, when I was about 2 miles away from the airport, decided to go to Reykjavik instead.
Right?
So I showed up there with no coat, no, you know, really shorts and sandals.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I did my best writing there. I think I need to trick my brain into, you know, I need to get it revved up by tricking it with something unexpected. In fact, tomorrow I have to do the same thing. I have no idea if I'm going to go home. I don't, back to the States. I don't know if I've heard of Mallorca. Is that right?
There is a Mallorca. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know much about it, but I might
be
there.
Spanish island.
That's where I might go. Yeah. You know, so I
envy you, Jeff. Right? Just imagine just turning up at the airport and just going, oh, just go there.
You know, it's a good idea, actually. It's a good way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I recommend it.
I think it's part of that fascination is when you do stand in an airport for whatever reason, and I do a fair amount of travelling for work reasons and all sorts, but and I've always, you know, you just watch everyone around you thinking that this hub is now where people are just, and you think, I could go anywhere.
You could go anywhere.
But you do it.
Right, I do it occasionally, yes.
And that old school thing of going and buying a ticket at the airport as well.
Yeah, why not?
That's rare, isn't it?
Right. See,
I thought that would just happen in films.
Right, you get on, right. Yeah, it's probably a bad idea, actually, but I just went to Cancun, Mexico. I'm writing a book actually about a family resort. So the family goes to they go to a vacation where the parents had honeymooned like 20 years ago.
Okay.
So it's the idea of, you know, back then they were free and wild, and now they're very mild and not free. They're very burdened by these children that they have.
Yeah.
So it's that.
Again, are you gazing in on your own life?
Yes. Right. Yeah. I go from every year. I get to go on these international trips where I go literally all over the world, and I get to fly business class and go through the fast track lane and all that. And then when I get home, it's all coach and, you know, it's the family travel lane.
It's a very different experience.
It's very different.
It's horrible. I've done it before, you know, going back years, and I, you know, I've flown business a couple of times.
Sure.
And you're right, then when you suddenly have to go somewhere with the family or whatever,
right.
and all I get was, you know, my wife or whatever, just going, right, you're not on your own now,
right.
So just remember that you've got to deal with all this stuff. Kids, pushchairs, right. Or whatever else it might be.
Yeah.
I'm striding ahead.
Right.
Show me the lounge.
I love, what I do is if I'm in business class, if I'm in coach, I really despise the people in business class, you know, and then when I'm in business class, I really am like, those people in coach better not come up and use our our bathrooms, you know, our toilets.
Yeah,
very hypocritical.
That's good. All right, listen, so, I was going to ask what you're doing next, but we know because you've just told us about Cancun. So, but in terms of Wimpy Kid stuff, do you see this going on? Anon?
I think so. I hope so. Yeah. I think the lifespan of a cartoon character is, you know, 20, 30, 40 years. Yeah. Peanuts went on for 50.
Yeah. Simpsons have been going on for quite some time.
25, yeah. So if I get to 20, I'll be happy. That'll be great.
Okay. And this is the fourth movie. So so you wrote the screenplay for that as well, of course.
Yeah,
co-wrote
yeah.
the screenplay. So more movies?
Hopefully. We have another. We have a musical coming up and then an animated television series.
All right. I'm just showing off now.
It's cool.
Right, listen, we've got to wrap up. Jeff, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Jeff Kinney there, author of Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Of course, the film Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul, is out now. You're listening to Talk Radio in the Afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.
The latest breaking news, expert analysis and outspoken opinion.
And I, for one, am proud of that.
Join the conversation party.
Talk Radio.
Mrs. Wren says you can't have a model home without a beautiful kitchen. And, at the moment, all Wren kitchens are half price. And VAT free. Plus, you can get a Bosch dishwasher for just £179 when you buy five or more units. Mrs. Wren, would you describe your nest as a model home? Of course it is. It's Twiggy. Fly down to your nearest branch of Wren Kitchens.
1 million is a gargantuan amount, isn't it? If 1 million people stood on each other's shoulders, they'd reach all the way to space. It'd be a bit cold at the top, though. So if I told you over 1 million people have chosen to sell their cars with WeBuyAnyCar.com, you might think, wow, I'm going to give that a go. Gargantuan. I like that word. Why don't you join them? Enter your reg number now at WeBuyAnyCar.com. Admin fee may apply. For more information, see WeBuyAnyCar.com/info.
Get closer to sporting history with a new Southview season ticket from Club Wembley, offering seats at Wembley Stadium for some of the biggest sports and entertainment events, including the England men's international matches, the Emirates FA Cup, plus music concerts, NFL and boxing. Prices start from £999, T's and C's apply. Purchase your season ticket by 5 p.m. on Thursday the 25th of May and get your Emirates FA Cup final ticket included for an extra £120, subject to availability. Visit clubwembley.com for more information.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the trade goes.
Selco Builders Warehouse, we've got real deals on a wide range of trade quality building products. In May, we've got 15 litres of Magnolia or Brilliant White Leyland Trade Contract Matte Emulsion for only £17.99 ex-VAT. Now that's a real deal. See selcobw.com for even more real deals and to find your nearest branch.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the trade goes.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
The M62 in Merseyside eastbound still closed between 7 for Rainhill Stoops and 10 for the Croft interchange. A clear-up after operation after an earlier accident. There is a diversion in place via local roads. In Bristol, the M49 southbound, there's a lane closed and slow traffic due to police incident between the M4 at junction 22 and junction 18A for the M5. And the M5 in Gloucestershire northbound, very slow traffic between junction 11 for Gloucester and 10 for Cheltenham due to an earlier accident. I'm Paul Jenkins.
Skeletor got £125 cash back at Money's Supermarket, and now he feels like the world's his theatre. So, baby, remember his name! Get £125 cash back when you switch your current account to First Direct Bank. Another exclusive deal from Money Supermarket. Offer ends July 3rd. For the offer, switch via Money Supermarket using the current account switch service and deposit £1,000 within 3 months of the account opening. New First Direct customers only. See Money Supermarket for full T's and C's.
Talk Radio. Dial up some dialogue.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Still to come on the programme today then, Paul Rossmaster, of course, today's edition of Nobody's Favourite Radio Quiz, where celebrities have their knowledge and patience pertaining to the life and work of Talk Radio full set breakfast presenter Paul Ross, well and truly tested. Today, Tommy Boyd. Yeah, that's right. He's back. He's been on Talk Radio, of course, sitting in for Ian Lee. He's back in radio. And he's going to be playing playing Paul Rossmaster around 4:15 this afternoon. Now, we need your help. Here's something. In many ways, it's an appeal. I suppose it's worth saying, isn't it? Because paid intern Cornelius, hello.
Hello.
Hello. He's in a little bit of a quandary. Now, it's his brother's birthday today. Okay. And his brother has sent him some rather petulant texts. Is he listening?
I don't know, possibly.
All right. What's his name?
Jed.
Hi, Jed. Anyway, Jed's been throwing his toys out of his pram a bit today because it's a hot day, isn't it? It's a hot day.
Very warm.
But it's
day.
Jed's birthday. And Jed has booked a restaurant, which he describes as high-end.
For the whole family.
Right, whole family. But Cornelius doesn't meet the dress code because Cornelius is wearing some shorts and a scrappy old T-shirt. So Jed is not pleased about this.
No, so before I left the house today, I sent a message saying, is it okay to wear shorts to this place? This is in a family group, to which my mum said, as long as they are Lederhosen.
Lederhosen.
Yes. She wrote Lederhosen.
Right, okay. Does she like to see you in Lederhosen, just as an aside?
No.
The leather Bavarian trouser?
No, but weirdly...
I mean, given your relationship with your mum?
No. Weirdly, a couple of times recently I've frequented German bars, German beer halls, because I'm currently going through this umpah music thing.
What even is that?
I just quite enjoy German beer with umpah music, and there's a couple places in London that play it on a sort of Friday and Saturday evening, so me and my friends have been going there.
Right.
Anyway, so I thought, that's fine, because we're actually going to a German restaurant. That's why my mum said about Lederhosen.
Right.
So, and I'm wearing shorts that are a bit similar. And then I remembered all these places I've gone to recently, all the staff wear shorts, because they are in Lederhosen.
Yeah, to be honest, you're not wearing anything similar to Lederhosen, let me be clear.
No, well, the shorts are a bit, don't you think?
Well, no, they're just some denim shorts.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd call them hot pants.
Anyway, my brother replied, this was, what's 11 minus 3?
Oh, God's sake.
This was 8 minutes after my first message. And he replied, no, definitely no shorts, collared shirt and trousers.
Right.
And then my mum replied, oh, no, I have a dress on. My other brother replied, I have jeans on. And Jed said, that's fine.
Right.
And I said, balls, I've already left the house in my shorts, which I had.
Right. Oddly, we're showing your balls as well with the nature of those hot pants again. But anyway.
And
I don't think leather chaps are appropriate.
And he said, well, you better go buy some nice trousers then. I thought, this is very odd, especially if jeans are fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, I went on the TripAdvisor page for this place. Someone else has asked, please, can you confirm the dress code?
Yeah.
Samuel B. replied, who is a restaurant representative. Hi, lovely Lou. we are fairly relaxed about the dress code. Smart casual would be the appropriate term. So smart casual.
Yeah.
So that's shorts, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. This is why we need your help, you see. Cornelius has on some, what I'm going to describe as denim hot pants and a scruffy T-shirt.
Very scruffy T-shirt.
It really is. That's not one of your best, is it?
No.
So I don't know whether that's appropriate or not, but obviously it's, you know, I think if we just take a democratic range of views, you can present this to Jed.
Yeah.
When you get to the restaurant, just say, well, the listeners said this was fine.
Yes.
I don't know.
So the last text Jed sent me was in reply to the smart casual news was a numbered list.
Yeah.
One, smart casual does not mean shorts. Mm. Two, it's my birthday, make an effort.
Right.
Three, don't turn up in shorts.
Right, it's going to be awkward, isn't it? Because you are going to turn up in shorts.
Yeah, there's no other option.
Yeah. So, well, let's, you know, and keep us enlightened as to how it goes, won't you?
I will.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it could be a really family row.
It could. I mean, these meals often end up in that, which is quite fun.
That's fine.
There's always someone who gets in a bad mood quite quickly, and then that's just fun.
Right.
So, yeah, but while sorting out all of this on the train,
yeah,
I realised that we pulled into the station.
Yeah.
So I picked up my bag and run off the train, just about got off it, then exited the station, went into Tesco to purchase my meal deal.
All right. I mean, other Tescos are available.
Yes. And then realised I left my jacket on the train with my wallet in.
Yeah. See, that's the problem of a hot day, you see, because you're not used to necessarily taking a jacket off at the moment.
Yeah.
So you put it on the rack above you.
And then
you
exactly what happened, John.
Unless you do check the rack, And if you don't do that on a regular basis, you can easily just walk off a train, can't you? And that's what's happened to you.
A story as old as trains.
Yeah. So in terms of, we should say you have got all this stuff back now.
Yeah.
But Cornelius did then tell me this morning he was going to be late because he was essentially chasing the train across London in order to get his stuff off it.
I ran back to Waterloo East Station.
It's a station in London.
Yeah, they said it's gone now to the next station, which is Charing Cross, which is the terminal station. It's the end of the line.
Yeah.
And I said, should we wait here for the train because it will come back through this station? And they went, no, you'll never know which one it is. So they said, go to Charing Cross. So there weren't a train for a while, so I ran across the river via a bridge. Yeah.
Good detail.
Yeah, to the station. Got to the station. I went, has someone handed my jacket in? They went, no. I went, right, I was on this train. And they went, right, your jacket is currently heading towards Gravesend.
Right.
Which is the...
which is where they bury the bodies in the plague.
Is it?
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's one of the gloomiest, gloomiest named places I've ever heard.
It's where the plague pit stopped outside London, the end of the Graves. That's what it's called.
Okay.
There you go.
So, a bit of history for you there. Well, where's the train now at the moment?
Can you speed this anecdote up? Because it's boring now.
It's about to reach Hither Green. I went, right, ring Hither Green.
Yeah.
And then Hither Green got my jacket. They got on the train and got off the jacket.
Right.
And then, fortunately, a colleague of ours, who you'll recognise from Spain.
Marta?
Yes. Yeah. Lives
who sometimes presses the buttons.
Yeah, lives in and around Hither Green.
Right.
And offered to pick up my jacket for me.
And so, as a result, Cornelius will now read from a pre-prepared statement.
This is someone very special I would like to thank and pay tribute to. She is funny...
Hang on a minute. I think we need better than that.
Okay.
I think it needs some... It needs something under it to sort of enhance.
You always think that.
Well, I do. You know, I do. Let's, what should we pick? I haven't got much on here. Let's try this.
There is someone very special I would like to thank and pay tribute to. She is funny, intelligent, beautiful, inside and out.
What?
That's what it says on this thing that she's making me read.
Right.
I have shamefully said some horrible things about her, to her face and behind her back, and for that I wish to apologise. For this courageous, selfless, honourable and wonderful person went out of her way to return my beloved jacket and largely unused wallet. She walked 2 miles on the hottest day of the year to Hither Green station to pick up my belongings. When she arrived, there were no supervisors around who could action this, which meant a wait in the searing heat for 20 minutes. The already annoying situation became worse when she ran out of water. Against all odds, she retrieved the items and made her way to work to return them. Now we ask yourselves.
What?
Did she need to do this? The answer is no. She did this without any thought of her own welfare. This special, beautiful, wonderful woman is called Marta. She is a martyr by name and a martyr by nature. Thank you.
That was a beautiful thing, wasn't it?
When I asked if she would pick up my jacket, because I knew she was heading through, she said, only if you have to read out a prepared statement that I write.
Hi, Marta.
Hi, John.
Yeah. So you had to go and sit in a station in the sweltering heat to pick up idiot's coat and jacket.
Yes.
That's above and beyond the call of duty, Marta.
I know, but, you know, I'm just like that.
This is nice,
like making people happy.
What, and then making them read out statements on
Marta
the radio?
Marta won't
That's
do anything.
That's not normal behaviour.
I also want people to know that I like to make people happy.
How much money did you take from the wallet out of interest?
£25.
Excellent work. Good. Oh, thank you, Marta. Well done.
I don't have £25.
Not anymore.
Thank you very much indeed. I have no idea what just happened. But anyway, that's fine. In the next bit of the programme, work experience punditry. Zoe is here. She's going to be going through some geeky, gadgety stuff. And after that, the big debate at 3 o'clock, of course. We were bringing you election coverage. We'll be going, continuing our journey around the country as we bring you a spotlight on the election. Today, we go to Argyll and Bute to find out what's going on in that constituency. And, of course, don't forget Paul Paul Rossmaster at around 3:45 this afternoon. It's 2:30 now. Talk Radio, Thursday afternoon. Pete's got the latest news for you.
Talk Radio.
It's emerged the Manchester Arena bomber Salman Abedi was thrown out of a mosque in the city 2 months ago. The row at the Salam Community Centre in Moss Side broke out when he tried to hide in the library to read religious books overnight. He died in the blast at a concert on Monday night that also killed 22 people. Mosque chairman Abdullah Musin Norris says he had to speak to Abedi.
I saw him staying over in the mosque and I told him that he had to leave, right? I think he was here probably from Fajr, from early morning prior. He stayed behind while everybody had gone.
Meanwhile, the UK fell silent this morning to remember the victims of the attack. Crowds gathered across the city to pay their respects at 11 a.m. The Prime Minister says the terror threat level in the UK is to remain at its highest rating and we should all stay vigilant. Police say they'll stop sharing updates about their investigation into the attack with the US after a series of leaks. They're said to be furious after crime scene pictures were published by the media there. Here's Home Secretary Amber Rudd.
Greater Manchester Police and the Counter-Terrorism Police have taken a view. We hope it is just going to be temporary, but it has been worrying, the leaks, but we are confident that will now end.
Police investigating the attack say significant arrests have been made and important items seized during raids. Eight people are now being questioned in the UK about Monday's atrocity. In other news, UKIP has restarted general election campaigning after it was suspended following the attack. The party is promising to fund 20,000 extra troops and police officers, as well as 7,000 more prison officers. Fred Talbot's been convicted of a string of historical sex offences against boys. The former TV weatherman, who's 67, carried out the attacks during trips to Scotland when he was a teacher in the 70s and 80s. And net long-term migration to the UK fell by 84,000 last year. It was estimated to be 248,000 in 2016. Today's weather, another dry day with plenty of sunshine. Temperatures will soar with highs of 27 degrees Celsius. And there's more news in half an hour.
Thank you very much, Pete. There's Pete with the news and the weather. He'll be back, of course, as he rightly said, at 3:00 with it again. Right, we need to be talking geeky, gadgety stuff next. Work Experience punditry on the way.
Did your husband accidentally transfer the contents of your joint account to a Nigerian prince called Trust Me Good Man? Perhaps you bought diet pills on the internet that made you frightened to cough. Or maybe your exotic mail order bride turned out to be a Ukrainian pig farmer called Igor.
When the con is on, you need a man who's on it. Listen to the Radio Hustle with scam-busting supremo Alexis Conran and get the inside track on all the latest swindles, schemes, tricks and traps the fraudsters are using to get their hands on your cash.
Get tipped off, not ripped off. The Radio Hustle with Alexis Conran, enemy of the con man.
Saturday afternoon from 1 on Talk Radio. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, good afternoon. Now, work experience punditry. People know what that is if they listen regularly. But, however, if you are one of our new listeners, allow me to explain it to you. Work experiences. You probably have a place of work. You might do. I don't know. And maybe there's a work experience in it. And you sort of look at them, don't you? And you think, I don't know who you are or what you're for. And then you give them things to do, maybe, don't you? Like sort of the tea. A given, the photocopying are given, other bits of, you know, research that no one wants to do, that kind of thing. And then they go home bored, having learned nothing at all about that industry. Not so much round here, by the way, because what we do is we take our work experiences and we shove them front and centre, actually in the middle of the media, right? Actually on air. Right, this is the industry they want to work in, so we actually give them proper real-world experience, and it gives them a leg up into the industry. That's what we tell them. It's actually a lie. The truth is, it'll get them nowhere, and the only reason they're here is because we don't have to pay them. Introduce yourself, new work experience.
Hello, I am Zoe. It's going well.
That'll do. Hi, Zoe. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. We're good, thanks. Yes. Lovely to see you. Thank you for coming in.
That's all right. Thank you for having me.
What have they had you doing ordinarily when because we've saved you from it?
Well, obviously. Yeah. I've been making lots of cups of tea. It's been good. Hoping you're enjoying the tea.
Yeah.
I've been doing lots of research. Been calling up people, getting them in for next week when our breakfast show goes on tour.
Oh, that's right.
Paul Ross goes round and about.
Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah. Been doing lots of that. Lots of calling, getting lots of ignoring from emails and callers as well.
Standard.
Yeah.
Standard practice. All right. Well, look, you're going to be doing geeky, gadgety stuff for us, because that's what we do. We review stuff with our work experiences. We do music, we do film, we do hipster nonsense. what else do? We do tech, and that's what today is, because it's Thursday. So it's geeky, gadgety crap, isn't it, really? That's the gist of it.
Yes, I guess so.
Go on then, what have you got?
So, Bosch have released a new app that allows you to see what's in your fridge at home. So from today, they'll be selling mini cameras that go in your fridge and it's connected to an app. So you can zoom into the image, see how many eggs you've got, see how many carrots, that sort of thing. It's a part of a collection of a smart home range. So other apps are going to be released, you know, allowing you to do your heating, lights, stuff like that. So yeah, it's all controlled by the app on your phone. The president of Bosch, Stefan Hoffman, says that his inventions are all about safety within the home.
Right. You see, well, you know, I don't need that. I don't know who does because how old is human civilization, Zoe?
This is true.
You know, put a number on it.
Do you not ever go home and be like, oh, I've got the milk?
Well, no. No, I mean, you know, so I suppose you're on the way home and if you think to check your app, see if you've got any milk and there's a camera roaming around inside of your fridge.
Yeah, exactly.
It's unnecessary.
I think so. But so those very forgetful humans like myself.
Yeah.
When you know, it's your birthday, it's your husband's birthday or whatever, and you need some eggs and you forget them.
Well, what's a rubbish present?
I know.
It's a birthday and you need some eggs. I got you these.
I got you some eggs.
Our assistant producer, Cass, would love that as a gift, of course, because she smells all of an egg. Mm. So that's fair. But we've heard of this stuff before. There's like the Nest thing, isn't there, which does your heating and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's part of this Internet of Things, isn't it? It's the interconnectedness of everything.
This won't work.
Go on.
Because when you shut the fridge, the light goes off.
I bet it's got a torch.
Possibly a little torch.
I don't think it'll work.
Maybe you should write to Bosch and say, have you thought about adding a little torch on it?
I bet they haven't thought about it.
No, I bet they haven't.
No.
Also, it'd be very hard, logistically, to get a shot of the whole fridge from inside the door. That's a very, very wide lens.
Yeah.
Isn't it? That's too wide a lens.
Well, maybe there's a multi-camera setup.
Okay.
Pointing at different shelves.
I'm just saying, I hope they've considered all of this rather than just come out with the idea and put a press release out.
It seems a bit, I mean, it seems slightly pointless, all this, as I say, because I think that nothing's gone wrong with the world where people just wrote themselves a bit of a list at one point and just went shopping.
This is true. I think it's, yeah, once again, it's for the forgetful people. Who
would you use
list.
It, though? Would you go down?
No, I can't admit. I can't even say I'd even use it. I wouldn't.
Are you a diligent shopper? How do you, you know, are you old school?
Yeah, I'm probably a bit too OCD about it. I'm a student, so I write about what I'm going to eat for the week and I'm going to write about what I need, and it should only cost me about 20 quid for 2 weeks. That's how I do it.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Efficient.
Wow, that is efficient.
Are you like that, John? I'm the opposite of that.
What do you mean?
I will buy my dinner on the day and see what I'm in the mood for that day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, actually. But it kind of varies, I suppose.
Mm.
But, you know, it's part of this whole... Everyone's thinking they've got to get on this app bandwagon of connecting everything up. It's like, I'm not one of the people who's ever going to buy one of those, the Alexa Amazon thing or the Google one, because I don't want to talk to a thing. I'll just get on with it myself, thanks. I don't want it to do a thing for me because it's just slightly freaky and annoying. It might be an age thing, Zoe, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't. I think having it's like a bit of a family member that you can't actually see, isn't it? Like, what is the actual point in them other than answering questions that Google can answer for you once you type them?
I mean, I suppose I could see the benefit if toilet paper, that would be a useful one, wouldn't it? Because more than eggs and stuff, right? Because, you know, there's nothing more annoying, not to put too fine a point on it, than having a bloated on the toilet. And then you look around and there's no toilet paper. Okay. Now, what they should invent, if they're really going to help around the home, Bosch, is then something to go and fetch you some toilet paper to stop you doing the awkward crab-style walk.
You know what? I think that exists. There's that button that Amazon do, don't they?
What, a toilet paper button?
Yeah, and you just press it and it'll order you some toilet paper.
So you've got to sit on the toilet?
Yeah.
For a...
I mean, it doesn't really work because you'd have to answer the door, I guess.
Well, maybe there's a system whereby the person... Maybe Amazon are forever innovating.
Mm.
Maybe there's a system whereby somebody could come around from Amazon and wipe you.
Yeah.
You know, there's a special door or something. Or, you know, maybe some kind of adapted U-bend where Amazon employees, right, are trained to... So, like, in the old days, okay, then there were, in castles, when noble kings and princes went for a poo, right, the toilets that they had then were open access underneath. There are cases in history of people being killed, Zoe, by people hiding in the sewers and shoving swords up their jacksie.
Oh!
Yeah, I know.
No. None of that. None of that.
Yeah. Hiding in the sewers underneath and doing that while the kings are on the toilet. But what I'm saying is we don't necessarily go back to the latrine idea, but Amazon could innovate and there could be an Amazon employee waiting, right, at the press of a button somehow. Alexa, wipe my arse.
Yeah, that's what you really need. You need Siri.
And then somehow an Amazon employee is lying in there waiting to wipe your bottom for you, which saves you getting up. You don't have to answer the door because they're already in the system.
And you do it via an app.
Yeah.
Poober.
There you go. There.
Or you...
No, not that. but anyway, wiper with just an R. Wiper, like Tinder. Wiper. Just anyway, so then it's useful. I'm just trying to think of real-world home scenarios where you do need a bit of help. That's one of them, isn't it?
That is one of them.
So there you go. Forget the milk and the eggs. Toilet paper. Anyway, I think we've solved that. All right, tease us, if you will, Zoe, with where we're going next in a geeky, gadgety world, because we've got to take traffic and travel now.
We've got some more googly situations, smart reply and Google Assist. We've got some pet tech. Mm. And is Fitbit a gimmick?
Right, all coming up. It's Work Experience Punditry, Talk Radio, afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. For those about to talk, we salute you.
Hey, I'm Lee Reedy. This song's about Oasis drinks.
I'm selling out, singing this song. Your liquid loving stops you feeling wrong. I sold my soul to the marketing team. But the money's good and the Oasis drinks are free. Oasis, it's hashtag refreshing stuff. Oasis, buy a bottle cause it's just ain't enough.
Without preparation, there is no performance.
Well, here we go.
Without support, there is no strength.
Sensational power there.
And without battle,
ooh, that's a big hit.
There is no victory.
And he's over in the corner.
The Aviva Premiership Rugby Final, Saturday the 27th of May, Twickenham. Glory awaits. Be there. PremiershipRugby.com/final.
A tough and overgrown lawn never gets in the way of the McCulloch man when there's a match on. Like a powerful striker with his McCulloch lawnmower. He has the power to get the job done, cutting the lawn down to size well before the pre-match build-up, leaving it looking good enough to host the cup final. Get your McCulloch lawnmower and other garden power tools at good DIY stores nationwide or at McCulloch.com. McCulloch, the power to get the job done.
Have you noticed how words that describe big things are, well, big? The word colossal is pretty sizable. Humongous would win any game of Scrabble. Then there's the phrase, the original bundle from Sky. Loads of channels, big screen drama, and a 1 terabyte Sky Q box. The smallest thing about it is the price. Sky TV for £22 a month. Search Sky Bundles. Sky. Believe in better.
Direct debit subject status. £20 setup. Sky Q loaned at no cost. Minimum contract and terms apply.
Talk Radio. Traffic and travel.
All lanes are now open on the M62 eastbound between junction 7 for Rainhill Stoops and 10 for Croft Interchange after the earlier accident. Traffic does remain slow though. In Bristol, the M49 southbound, still a lane closed due to police incident between junction 22 and junction 18A for the M5. And in Wittering, Cambridgeshire, the A1 northbound, there's a lane closed and queuing traffic due to an overturned car at Townsend Road with congestion back to the Alwarton Showground turnoff. I'm Paul Jenkins.
Skeletor got £125 cash back at Money's Supermarket, and now he feels like the world's his theatre. So, baby, remember his name! Get £125 cash back when you switch your current account to First Direct Bank. Another exclusive deal from Money's Supermarket. Offer ends July 3rd. For the offer, switch via Money's Supermarket using the current account switch service and deposit £1,000 within 3 months of the account opening. New First Direct customers only. See Money's Supermarket for full T's and C's.
Delaney, live at Drive on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. It's an A to Z of original afternoon entertainment with the most well-connected man in radio.
Give it some lip.
Big opinions, massive guests, all the top stories. Original afternoon entertainment with me, Sam Delaney.
Delaney, live at Drive.
Honk if you're Delaney.
This afternoon from 4.
On Talk Radio, we'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So it's just coming up to quarter to... So anyway, I'm John Holmes. Welcome along, Talk Radio. Yes, that's what it is. That's why that bit of production played there. I mean, it would be ridiculous to play something from a different radio station. Wouldn't it make any kind of sense? Anyway, a lot of news, of course, around today. Significant arrests in the Manchester case. We've been hearing about that. Theresa May has said the threat, the terror threat level will remain at critical. Donald Trump, meanwhile, is in Brussels. He's met the King and Queen of Belgium, so I imagine they were over the moon with that, as we say. A lot going on, though. Other things as well, of course, other things in the news, and the way we explain it, because we find the news very complicated.
Oh, I can't get my head around it.
I know, Cornelius, but it's all right. As you calm, just calm. Take a breath. I know. It's complicated. Take a breath. There. It's all right. Because what we do is we explain the news by subjecting it to the medium of short form oriental verse. Five syllables, seven syllables, and five syllables. It's the news in haikus.
Bits don't count, Cal. Reason correctly, all the more reason to get one.
The news in haiku. Okay then, how timely that haiku is. For we are talking geeky, gadgety tech stuff. We are doing it with Zoe. She has our work experience. And we've dragged her away from the dull drudgery of ordinary work experience tasks. Have you ever been on work experience before, Zoe?
I have been.
Where were you before?
I've been to Absolute for a day.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Absolute Radio.
Yeah. I did some work with community stations. I did some East London Radio.
All right.
I've done some Brit FM Radio.
Yeah.
Also worked with On Broadcast.
Right. Did any of them allow you on air within moments of your arrival?
I've got to admit, yeah, they did.
What the?
They did. It happened.
Who did?
Absolute Radio.
Did they?
They did.
Whose show was that?
Rob Beckett's.
Oh,
Rob
Beckett.
Rock and Roll Football.
Yeah. What did he, with Matt Dyson?
No, oh. I think it was just him that day.
Oh, Matt was off. What did they have you doing?
I made some tea, as usual.
Of course.
And then I did some driving with the desk, got on air a bit, had a little conversation with Rob about football, because I'm clueless, so that was really good.
Yeah.
But I was only there for the length of the show, so I haven't...
All right. Well, that's not like this, though. This is your own feature.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what I'm saying is we're better than that. You know, this is you... doing your thing.
Researching it.
If you want to feel more comfortable, we can laugh really loudly into the microphone so it's like you're on Rob Beckett's show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Get your teeth out.
It's really annoying, isn't it, when that happens?
It's good.
So annoying. Anyway, okay, well, look, geeky gadgety stuff. We talked about Fitbits there in the haiku.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Fitbit news.
I do. So there's been a recent study about Apple Watch, Fitbit Surge, Pulse On. They've tested it on 60 volunteers. But the study showed that they were good at measuring heart rate, but they weren't so great at tracking the amount of exercise someone's doing. So another seamless kind of pointless gadgety thing there. Apparently, we shouldn't just ditch the tech, but we should just put a little bit less faith in it. So, you know, thanks to that study, saying we should just put a little bit of faith into, you know, stuff that costs hundreds of pounds.
Well, that's the thing. They are still a thing, aren't they? Everyone, it's all that.
They're a big thing.
They're all the rage, weren't they? People with different Fitbits, other Fitbits are available, clearly. But wrist worn, you can clip on ones and all this kind of stuff, and apps on your phone that track this, that and the other. And there has been no evidence. I've read articles about this. There's been no evidence that any of them are accurate whatsoever. It's just a sort of, almost a placebo effect to make you think you're doing something worthy.
I suppose. Which is good. If it does make you walk and exercise more, then that is a good thing. But obviously, if we're being missold the idea that they tell us exactly how we've worked out.
Well, this is exactly what has happened. So through my research, I've done looked at a couple of articles, and both of them have said that people have been looking at their tracking and been like, oh, you know, I've done great today. I'm going to have a bit of cake.
Yeah. That's where it all falls down.
That is exactly where it falls down. So people are either getting fixated on the goals, or they just forget the advice that actually walking for an hour to work actually isn't worth a Big Mac meal.
Yeah, no, that's right. If you do some exercise, that's very good. But there's no point in then offsetting it with a cake.
Yeah.
Or a pie or a cake pie. And so that's why it's not necessarily... Literally working. I mean, have you ever had a Fitbit?
I had a friend who had a running app while I was at university, and she used to tweet every time she went for a run, like automatically through the app, distance and time.
Oh, I hate that.
And it was the most, and you know, with a link through to her profile.
Yeah.
So what I did is I downloaded a running app and then would just turn it on whenever I got on the train.
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
And then turn it off. And then they were, wow, this kid's fast.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah.
But no, I do use a running app. So, oh, I did. I haven't run for a while now. But yeah, they work all right.
Yeah. Well, a running app, in terms of it just, you know, the couch to 5K or whatever these things are, they do work.
Yeah.
But it's these gadgets, isn't it? These things that we've been sold as this, it will keep track of your steps and it will do all this kind of stuff. But actually, there's no evidence that they do in any accurate way. All right. What else is in your geeky gadgety file there?
So, last week, Google announced that they're releasing Smart Reply, which is a component to Gmail. Smart Reply learns how you write and suggests short replies to your emails. So you can choose predictive words and sentences or adjust them to, you know, how you normally speak in emails. Currently, Smart Reply only offers English, but later this year will be releasing their Spanish version.
It's just lazy, though, isn't it?
I don't know. So, you know, Apple did that whole app update where you can have, like, predictive words and sentences. It's basically that, just Google.
Right. But I mean, the predictive stuff's annoying anyway, you know.
It's quite assumptive, I find.
And I don't want to write that, you know. Whenever I write a certain swear word...
Always autocorrects.
It autocorrects to the word coal on mine. Why does it do that?
Mm.
I've got no idea. And, if I want to rightly tell somebody, you know, here to off, right, it just changes, and I write that, and angrily, or whatever it might be, and it just says coal. And I'm like, what do you mean coal?
That's so random.
And I have to go back and get angrier about stupid... Coal, I don't know.
I think it's quite invasive, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's unnecessary. I mean, also, you know, turn Google, turn your technological advancement to things we need again, not things we don't really need. This whole predictive. It's like when, you know, that auto, when someone texts you or calls you, you can hit a button that just replies with an instant text.
I don't get
just
that.
Just some
option.
Lame sort of, don't like. Yeah,
I wish I did, because I don't reply to anyone and people get really angry with me all the time.
Yeah.
They go, oh, why didn't you reply? It's just, you know, and you just go, oh, out of laziness.
Yeah, kind
of
bothered.
Yeah, you know, just out of pure disinterest in what you have to say.
Yeah.
But people get really offended with that. So it would be nice just to send a, okay, cheers from Con. That would be nice.
But that does exist.
Does it?
Yeah.
I don't get that option on my phone or my emails.
Right.
That's not fair.
All right, fine. Right, what else?
So Google Assist as well. The digital assistant is getting updated. You'll be able to read The Google Assistant will be able to read sentences uses an addition to spoken voice. So you can speak and they'll read it, or they'll read and it will speak afterwards as well. So Google
I don't
Assist,
need any of this.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of nonsense. But apparently it's going to make your home smarter.
Oh, God, works that again.
70 smart home partners.
It's all very well, isn't it, till, you know, somewhere down the line and we all lose the ability to do things for ourselves, and then it all collapses, and then the post-apocalyptic wasteland
is
just full of people wandering around trying to talk to Siri, but Siri's dead in the nuclear fire and can't do anything.
I think some people who do use Siri, what happens if they disappear and suddenly we actually like, no, we're independent humans, we don't need this. What happens?
Siri just, I mean, I've not tried to use Siri at all. I experimented with it and you sort of go, oh, and all it never knows what you see. It's the same old thing. You just go, oh, Siri, play Bowling for Soup.
And it goes, this is your reminder to call the vet. And you go, what are you talking about? That's not what I even said. Well, it might just be deliberately not playing Bowling for Soup because it doesn't like Bowling for Soup. They're a band, Zoe.
Maybe. I see.
Okay,
I
fine. right, okay, anything else?
Yes. Do you guys have pets?
Yes.
What pets do you have?
I've got a dog and a cat.
Okay, both. Cornelius, do you have any animals
No,
at home?
I have a flatmate.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Well, so have you heard about the wearable pet tech, such as collars, like smart collars, leashes and feeders?
Oh, they don't need this stuff. What now?
So, you know, if you're not at home, if you're, you know, talk radio towers
so your dog
for a long
can check
day.
Its emails on a walk.
So it gives feeders.
Yeah.
Say you're at work all day or you work the night shift, your cat gets hungry in the middle of the night, you can just press a button and a machine will feed your animal for you or your flatmate. We could do that.
Well, screw them. I mean, at the end of the day, they get fed, you know, when they get fed, don't they?
This is true. But for those pet owners who really feel that connection with their animals, can just do it from an app. So I was reading that one lady, her dog, she took her lead off her dog, ran away from her and was like, I've had enough of you. Ran off. And she could track it from the smart collar. So that's, I guess that's one
okay.
Of the
that's useful.
Needs.
I see that. All right, that's not a bad thing. If your dog is prone to running off on a walk or something, I can see that being useful. Fine, but something remotely feeding an animal, right? It's just what?
No, that can be quite useful, especially with cats. So if you're not in all day or you go away for a weekend, you can carry on feeding your cat, and that's not as mean if you have a cat flap and it's in an outdoor cat flap. Thing.
Right.
So that's all right. So you can still feed your cat, can't you?
Yeah, but you can do that anyway.
How? There's getting someone else to.
Yeah, or there's
that's
old.
That's quite long.
There's old school timed bowls with slots in.
Is there?
Apparently. That you could do. But look, again, we're back to this, right? The most useful thing that could happen for a pet. What's the most annoying thing about a pet? When it poos.
Yeah, this is true.
Right? So we're back to that again. So what all we really need, okay, to bring this full circle is someone from Amazon to turn up, right, and pick up the poo. Right? That in a bag.
Animal so, poober.
Yeah. So we've got poober for humans now and animal poober for animals. That's all we need. We don't need any else of that tech that you're talking about there, Zoe. We just need someone to do the dirty jobs we don't want to do.
You can do Poober Junior for... changing diapers and nappies.
Diapers?
Yeah, sorry, I meant to say nappies.
Are you American?
No, I'm not, John.
Great. Anyway, thanks, Zoe.
That's right.
For enlightening us into a world that we don't need. Zoe there, doing work experience punditry. And in the next bit of the programme, that's right, we'll be doing the big debate. That's just after 3 o'clock this afternoon. There as well cometh the spotlight, because election coverage continues today as we will be going to another constituency to shine a light on it. Our political editor, Cornelius, hello.
Hello.
Has been out and about, fair to say. So that'll be happening. And, of course, today's edition of Paul Rossmaster as well, on the way at around 4:45. You're listening to Talk Radio in the afternoons. That was Work Experience Punditry. I'm John Holmes.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio. Results, analysis and updates from the campaigning all the way to the final count.
Can I quote you on that?
Join the conversation party on your election station.
Our fortunes prosper well.
Talk Radio.
At Argos, this bank holiday, get great deals on barbecues and an extra 25% off furniture when you spend over £200 with code FERN25. Plus, get a free £10 voucher when you spend £100. Go Argos. Selected lines, conditions apply. Offers end 6th of June. Voucher off ends 3rd of June. Excludes gift card purchases.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check.
The team at Stanton Fisher recently claimed back over £4,500 for me. This money was invaluable, as I'd been out of work for a little while, and it gave me some breathing space. I did very little, and I got some money back. It was awesome.
So text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI.com?
That's CHECK to 80800.
Writing job descriptions, managing candidates, setting up interviews, hiring's hard. But Indeed.com makes it easy. Post your job, organise candidates, schedule interviews. All on the UK's number one job site. And with more people in the UK using Indeed than any other job site, easy works. Find your next hire at Indeed.com today. Terms, conditions, quality standards and usage limits apply. UK's number one job site based on total unique visitors to Indeed.com.
It's lights out and away we go. That emergency plumbing job is no match for Nigel and his Renault traffic van. It's his best performance yet. Renault Pro Plus vans are trusted as the logistics partner to the Renault Sport Formula One team, delivering vital components day in, day out. See how the award-winning Renault Pro Plus range can power your team with reliability and aftercare service you can count on. Visit one of our Renault Pro Plus specialist dealers to find out more.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Access all radios.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip. Talk Radio.
At exactly 3 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm John Holmes. Here's Pete with the news.
Thank you. Coming up, Queen visits terror casualties, 8 people arrested in connection with attack, and UKIP launches election manifesto.
Talk Radio.
The Queen has visited children in hospital after the attack on Manchester Arena, telling them the bombing was very wicked. She also told parents that everyone was united. A minute's silence was held at 11 o'clock this morning in memory of the 22 people who died. Meanwhile, police say they'll no longer share information about their investigation with US authorities after crime scene photos were leaked in the media. They also say significant arrests have been made and important items seized during raids. 8 men are now being questioned in the UK about Monday's atrocity. Greater Manchester Police Chief Constable Ian Hopkins gave this update.
I want to reassure people that the arrests that we have made are significant, and initial searches of premises have revealed items that we believe are very important to the investigation.
It's also emerged that suicide bomber Salman Abedi was thrown out of a Manchester mosque and accused of acting like a child after a row just 2 months ago. In other news, UKIP says it's the only party going into the general election promising not to raise taxes. It insists cutting the UK's foreign aid bill would more than plug deficits in the NHS. Leader Paul Nuttall announced UKIP's manifesto this morning, pledging tens of thousands of more police, troops, prison officers and border guards to help fight Islamic terrorism. He claims only his party can fight the problem.
It is not good enough to light candles and proclaim that extremists will not beat us. Action is required on multiple fronts, and I am proud UKIP is setting out its patriotic agenda.
And the parents of a sick 9-month-old boy have lost a court appeal, meaning doctors can now stop providing life support treatment. Charlie suffers from a rare genetic condition and has brain damage, but his parents, Chris Gard and Connie Yates, want him to undergo a trial in the US.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Staying mostly sunny this afternoon, parts of North Wales and Lancashire are likely to be the hottest today with highs of 29 degrees Celsius.
Pete, thank you very much indeed. That's Pete with the news. And now here's Tim Humphrey. He's got the pre-recorded sport.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Tim Humphrey. Gary Monk has resigned as Leeds manager. He led them to a 7th place finish in the Championship this season after being appointed last summer. In a statement, the club says Monk's made it clear to them that he's considering life beyond Leeds United. Wayne Rooney has been left out of the England squad for the World Cup qualifier with Scotland at Hampden and the friendly with France. Tottenham right back Kieran Trippier has been called up for the first time. Former Middlesbrough and Fulham goalkeeper Mark Schwartz had told Jim White on Talk Sport that if Rooney wants to get his place back, he needs to revive his career with a move.
Find a club where he's going to play all the time, get fitter by playing week in, week out, match fitness, score goals, and then it's very difficult, like Jermaine Defoe showed, to ignore you.
Wales manager Chris Coleman says they're not overly worried about facing Serbia in their World Cup qualifier without the suspended Gareth Bale. Everton defender Gethin Jones has been called up by Coleman. He's also attracted interest from Australia, where he was born. That's your latest sport, powered by TalkSport.
Thank you, Tim Humphrey. A big debate on the way here on Talk Radio this afternoon.
Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
In the hearts of men.
To some, it was a miracle. Others called it the triumph of illiteracy. Radio. It revolutionized the way people learned about their world.
Get out of the way, please.
It changed forever the way people would be entertained.
John Holmes.
John Holmes.
On Talk Radio.
For those about to talk,
we salute you.
Play Misty for me.
Right then, 4 minutes past 3 o'clock. Good afternoon. If you're just joining us, here's what's coming up in the next hour. As I say, big debate on the way very shortly indeed. Also, all the election latest for you between now and four. As once again we shine a spotlight on a different constituency, we've been going around the country over the past couple of weeks. Today we visit Argyll and Bute in election spotlight. plus today's edition of Paul Rossmaster. It's our quiz that tests the knowledge and patience of celebrity players as to the life and work of Talk Radio Full Set Breakfast presenter Paul Ross. Paul Rossmaster. Today, Tommy Boyd is having a go on it. Oh, before 4 o'clock.
John Holmes. Talk Radio.
Time for the big debate. So, as election campaigning resumes after the events of Monday in Manchester, Paul Nuttall has chosen today to set out UKIP's stall, upon which he's laid details of a one-in, one-out immigration system, which makes Britain rather like a nightclub. He's also talking about cutting the foreign aid budget, banning Sharia law, and repeating the call for a ban on full-face burqas. Say what you like about the timing. UKIP's Suzanne Evans has added that UKIP are, quote, the only party serious about tackling radical Islam in Britain. Now, critics have accused UKIP of cynically capitalising on those attacks, saying that the manifesto... Well, Paul Nuttall then said, sorry, in defence, that the manifesto went to print prior to that on Saturday, he said. And that's fine, of course. After all, Mein Kampf went to print in 1925, didn't it? For balance, and we have to be balanced, we should also point out that Theresa May's policies, whilst Home Secretary, are also under fire from critics who blame her for a shortage of armed police. Jeremy Corbyn, for his part, has been called a terrorist sympathiser due to his refusal to condemn the IRA. And other parties of all kinds have all been criticised as well, because that's how politics works. Now, on the telephone line, having called Talk Radio in the afternoon, we're joined by Talk Radio listener Huxley, called 03444 99000. Good afternoon, Huxley.
Good afternoon, John. How are you? I hate stalls. Ah, good. You see what I did there, John?
Good. Well, I'm glad you laid your stall out early.
I got in there. I didn't stall. I didn't mess about. Yeah. I didn't take up, you know, any extra time. I just got straight in there with my point.
Yes,
John.
You did.
I think you'll find that makes good radio. No radio silence. Just straight in there with my point.
Very good. Well, if only you were the similar to all callers to Talk Radio, life would indeed be easier, wouldn't it? Your point is made. You heard me say the word stall in that opening introduction. You've called in. You don't like stalls. Tell me why.
I can't stand stalls. Let me give you a little bit of background, Jonathan. I used to work as a pilot. You know, I'm retired now, but I used to work as a pilot. And one of the worst things that could happen was when the engine stalled.
Stalled.
You know, because your plane would lose altitude quite quickly.
Yeah.
You know, so that's given me a lifelong distrust of stalls.
Right, and I suppose
all the other things.
So just to add insult to injury, and it would be injury in this case, wouldn't it? If your stalled plane was to plough into, say, some market stalls,
yes.
I mean, that you would be livid.
Oh, I would. I mean, one time we crashed into the ground floor seating of a theatre, and that set me off quite a bit. I didn't like that at all.
No. Okay, well, look, stay on the line, because I want to bring in Orwell. Good afternoon, Orwell.
Good afternoon, Mr. Jonathan.
Thank you for calling. So, you've heard Huxley there. He's an ex-pilot. He's plane stalled once, hit a theatre stalls. As a result of that, he's got a fear, a hatred, I suppose, I don't know if that's too strong a word, of stalls of all kind. Set out your stall for us, Orwell.
Well, what this bold pizzle of an excuse for a gentleman fails to understand is that here, in this country, right now, we need somewhere to put the groundlings. And that's what stalls were designed for. They're not a mistake. They're entirely natural.
Right.
Like ducks or berries or servants.
Right.
Also,
yes.
And in addition, I sometimes like to fill the pockets of my raincoat with jelly and go and stand in a stall. There, I said it, Mama, on the radiogram.
Right.
Sending part to the solicitors now.
Well, yes. When you say you go and stand in a stall with jelly-filled pockets, what's to be specific about that? What sort of stall do you stand in?
I prefer a shabby kind of stall. I always use royal jelly. and okay. I like to kind of squish it through my fingers.
Huxley, let me bring you back in there.
Please do. I can't stand this man talking. I had so many gaps when he was talking. I could drive a bus for them or a plane, which I used to. So yeah. I'm qualified to do that.
Yes. But he likes rubbing his fingers through raw jelly.
Well, that's got, I mean, we all like doing that on occasion. I myself get jellied up over Easter. But, you know, that's not what we're talking about here, is it? We're talking about stalls.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let me bring in this point. If I could, there are several types of stall, of course. We know about the market stall, you know, we've talked about the stalls in the theatre, as you were talking about, the stalling of an aeroplane, for an example. They're all negative connotations, though, aren't they? Stalling for time, for instance. So negative connotations, Orwell. You know, so you're very much in favour of them, but really, I mean, well, we still don't know why.
No, it doesn't always have to be negative. You know, once I opened my front door, to discover a sad gorilla.
Yeah.
And it's apparently heard from the village folk that I was sympathetic to gorillas and their various problems. And this, of course, is not true. But the village folk can be mischievous when the mood takes them. Mm. Now, this gorilla just went on and on and on about its sad life. And it was only when I said, hold on, Chappie, let me find some spare change, that I was able to slip away to France. So there's an example, John, Mr. Jonathan, where I successfully stalled a sad gorilla. And if I hadn't, I would probably still there,
right,
listening to him with his hairy sack of marble stories.
Right. I mean, you are an insane person, and that's why you've called a talk radio station, so that's fair enough. But I want to ask you this question, of course. You are, we've all heard of, you've probably been to a church fete, Orwell. Have you been to a church fete or a school fair?
I've never been to a church fete. On principle.
But you're aware of them, surely. And Huxley, same question to you. You're aware of a church fete. What do they have there? They have stalls, don't they?
They have stalls. And not only that, Jonathan, but the seating in a church for the choir is a choir stall. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, well, and that's the church fete. So you're right. And they have a tombola, don't they? They have a whack-a-rat, a cake stall, maybe a crockery smash, guess the number of sweets in the vicar, that sort of thing.
But
people are enjoying that, Huxley, aren't they? You take stalls away.
You don't need stalls to count the number of beans in the vicar.
Go on, Orwell.
Mr. Jonathan, they have jelly.
Well,
lots and lots of jelly at these fetes. That is why the people enjoy themselves. And without a stall, one cannot enjoy jelly in the way one wishes to.
Listen, Orwell, if that is your real name, I've enjoyed jelly in many, many locations, okay? None of which involve a free quarter enclosure or a little table from which the wares were put upon. I can enjoy jelly off the ground. Far off the ground.
Are we straying off the point? I'm sorry, we're just straying off the point slightly. I mean, I do understand.
I am sorry, Mr. Jonathan, if this upstart Huxley is spouting verbiage like a baboon that ate too much gravy.
Well,
it's his obsession with jelly that's causing all this, mine.
You brought the jelly up. But look, let me ask you this question. I want you to
don't bring it up. I keep it in my pockets.
Right. Let's just role play this for a moment, right? Let's say you're both standing next to each other working on a market stall, for example.
Must we do this?
Yes, just bear with me, right? Because this'll help solve the problem, I think. Right, okay, so Huxley, you're on a market stall, you're selling bridges.
Right? Okay.
All sorts of bridges, cantilever.
Golden Gate bridges.
Cantilever, suspension arch. And Orwell, you're selling zoo animals, right?
Okay.
Now, just role play this out. So you're there are people walking past, you've got to attract. I'll be the person walking past, and you've got to attract me to your stall. That's how markets work. I've been to a market before, and I've seen surly men shouting. So to try and persuade me to go and buy their things. So I just want to sort of work that through, because I think that'll help us all get to.
Mr. Jonathan, would you like to buy this lemur? It's very friendly, rather capable, and could help you run your radio show.
Well, no, it's more a case of I just want you to do it like lemur. Lemur! And at the same time, Huxley,
when
you're
say lemur, are we talking about the monkey-looking thing, or are we talking about the bean?
The monkey-looking thing.
Oh, right, okay.
And you're trying to sell me a bridge, right? So you're sort of going, right. Cantilever! Get your cantilever bridge! Get your bridge! So are you going
to... I wouldn't shout. If you insist, I will do this.
And I want it in a common market trading accent.
In a common voice, all right.
Yeah. I hope you're listening, Mama. I don't do this very often, but I'm going to do it on the radiogram.
Right, so...
Ocelots, get your ocelots here while they're rot.
Britches! Get your britches here!
Help them walk across! £10 a sack!
You can't walk across!
£10 a sack of flies! Get a sack of flies now or throw in a free monkey.
Do you see what I mean? Right? Do you see what I'm getting at?
No.
You see, because what I'm getting at there is that you have now become part of the rich tableau and tapestry of British life, the British way of life. Because the shouting of surly men with bad grammar on stalls is part of our way, isn't it?
No, I'm already part of it.
It shouldn't need to be.
It's a very rich tapestry of British life. Enormously, stupendously rich tapestry.
Yes, but if you get...
I would not go, I don't need to sell
tapestry!
For that.
Get your tapestry! Like that. You see what I mean?
If I was selling something, I wouldn't wait behind the table. I would go out to meet you. I'm proactive like that. I would go out, I would shake your hand, I would push a bridge into your pocket and say, take that, that's the first one, that's free, any more you come to me.
That's sort of dealing. I mean, that's bridge dealing. You know, that's a bit of an issue that you can't just go
and... You're clearly Huxley's one of the Worcestershire Huxleys. They were always rather shabby.
Well, that's my problem with that is you can't deal. It's like with zoo animals. You can't, if you offer them to people in a scenario other than a stall, what you'll get is people go, you know, it's all about Huxley going up to someone and say, I've got you a small plank across a stream, and that's free. And then the next minute, you know, they're going to be desperate for a huge viaduct, and you've got and you'll be charging them money for that. You'll be sucking them into the bridge, to a bridge addict.
I think that's better than being a stall addict. So I think we're all forgetting here that stalls are inherently bad. I mean, the 76th episode of Seinfeld, I believe it was the 12th episode of the 5th season, was a terrible, terrible episode, or perhaps the only terrible episode of the whole series of Seinfeld ever.
Right, I don't really understand.
Do you watch a lot of Seinfeld while you're sucking them in, Huxley?
I had a lot of time on autopilot when I was flying around, so I would often put on the box set of Seinfeld while I was flying between Bermuda and Triangle.
Nobody knows what you're talking about now, which is the point of talk radio, so that's fine. Listen, thank you very much for calling in. It's an interesting debate, isn't it? And it's always good to get people's stories. You know, Huxley's an ex-pilot. His plane stalled. He crash-landed in a...
Theatre, only 10 minutes
stalls,
ago.
Stalls of a theatre. And so has a hatred of stalls. Orwell there, very much for them as a notion. Interesting stuff. Orwell, could you sum up the debate for me in one word, please?
Jelly, I think.
Thank you very much. Huxley?
Bridges!
Good. And there we must leave it. So what do you think? Do you think we need stalls? I mean, you've seen them in the markets. Market, get your stalls! Get your stalls in the market! Haven't you? And elsewhere, and church fetes, as we've said. Where do stalls go in the winter? Church fetes and school fairs are in the summer, aren't they? Where do they go in the winter? They migrate, of course. If you've ever seen, and it's a beautiful sight, if you've ever seen market stalls and church fete stalls in the sky, in those arrangements they have, the mermation of stalls, they call it. What a sight that is. Anyway, get in touch with us. Do we need stalls? We live in Britain. We live in post-Brexit Britain. We've got peanut butter now and operational battleships. Why do we need market stalls or stalls of any kind? Let me know. 8722.
Start your message with the word talk.
At Talk Radio on Twitter.
Start your message with any word you'd like.
It's time now, and that's Talk Radio, and that's the big debate.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.
MP or not MP? That is the question.
I still think I was the best candidate.
Join the conversation party.
Talk Radio.
You know the saying, blink and you'll miss it? Well, you could use it for TalkTalk's fibre flash sale. Because for a very short time, you can get TalkTalk fibre, which is four times faster than standard ADSL broadband, for just £25 a month, including line rental, for 2 whole years. It's Britain's lowest priced fibre compared to Sky, BT and Virgin over 24 months, saving you up to £535 versus BT. But hurry, the flash sale ends June the 1st. Search TalkTalk fibre and join now. TalkTalk. for everyone.
Comparison with BT excludes voucher and is based on TalkTalk's faster up to 38 meg and BT's Infinity One up to 52 meg packages. Contract and conditions apply.
Skeletor got £125 cash back at Money's Supermarket, and now he feels like the world's his theatre. So, baby, remember his name! Get £125 cash back when you switch your current account to First Direct Bank. Another exclusive deal from Money Supermarket. Offer ends July 3rd. For the offer, switch via Money Supermarket using the current account switch service and deposit £1,000 within 3 months of the account opening. New First Direct customers only. See Money Supermarket for full T's and C's.
Let's make more of the garden. Because right now, at Wix, there's 3 for 2 across gardens and landscaping, including all decking and wood care. Wix, let's do it right. Exclusions apply.
With BMW twin power turbo engines and near perfect 50-50 weight distribution, the BMW 1 Series delivers all the poise, power and precision you expect from a BMW. And now the 5-door BMW 118 iM Sport is available with monthly rentals from just £239. Visit your local BMW centre. The BMW 1 Series. Pure BMW. £4,329 initial rental, 36-month hire agreement, subject to status and availability for new vehicles ordered by 30th of June and registered by 30th of September. UK-only guarantees may be required. Excess mileage and other conditions apply when you return the vehicle. BMW Finance.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In Greater Manchester, we have heavy traffic due to an earlier broken down car. That's on the M62 eastbound before Junction 20. In Merseyside, we have slow traffic due to an earlier accident. Two lorries and a van involved. That's on the M62 eastbound between Junction 7 and Junction 10. In Cheshire, we have very slow traffic due to an earlier broken down car on the M6. That's northbound between Junction 17 and Junction 18. And in the West Midlands, we have one lane closed and slow traffic due to a broken down vehicle and a broken down car transporter. That's on the M6 northbound between Junction 8 and Junction 9. I'm Sammy Jo Lowe.
You can talk loads on the internet. I talk to my friends all the time, even like 5 or 7 at once. I can talk to my older brother at uni. I can even talk with people I've never heard of, like BubbleBob77, who wants to hang out. Shall I tell him where I live?
When your kids have questions about the internet, make sure it's you they turn to. Regular chats together will help you keep them safe. For help and advice from O2 and NSPCC, search Share Aware.
Talk Radio. Listen. Phone. Talk.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon to you. Right, well, that was a big debate, of course. Stalls. I said the word stall, and that prompted Huxley to call. Talk Radio listener, of course, 03444 95000. And he phoned in because he was an ex-pilot, and his plane stalled once, and he crashed into the stalls of a theatre. Never liked stalls since. Made some very valid points, of course. Orwell then called in with the opposing point of view, very much in favour of stalls generally. We talked about the sort of stalls you get at church fates, didn't we? And school fairs, your tombola and your whack-a-rat and your cake and your crockery smash and your like, guess the number of sweets in a vicar, that sort of thing. And, of course, where... Yeah, we're trying to work that out. Where do stalls go in the winter? Because those are all summer fates, aren't they? Where do they go in the winter? Well, the answer is they migrate, of course. Have you ever seen a mermation of stalls when all the stalls from the church fates and school fairs just do fly south for the winter? You look into the sky and just see them all moving together. It's a mystery how it happens, but incredible sight. Anyway, so we're talking about that a bit. A lot of reactions coming in, Cornelius, to this. Do we need stalls?
Several reactions coming in, John. Alex on Twitter says there's been calls for all stalls to be kept in halls by the fall. Mm. It's balls, he
right.
says.
Thank you.
John, a lot of people pass stalls, in fact, most. But I find that very, very odd, as why would you pass them? Why do you not stop to admire them?
Right, that's a slight... misunderstanding of the word. Anyway, it doesn't matter. By the way, in the next bit of the programme, i.e. the last half an hour today, Paul Rossmaster, our quiz pertaining to and about Talk Radio Full Set Breakfast presenter Paul Ross, will be played by none other than Tommy Boyd. Here we are. Well, on the phone anyway. Playing a game which tests his knowledge of Paul Ross, as I say. So that's coming before 4 o'clock. Now, elections. There's one. There's one coming. I don't know whether you're aware of it. UKIP brought their manifesto out today, of course, throwing us back into the election campaign. It's just a couple of weeks now until the general election, and you're probably wondering who to vote for. Well, you've come to the right place, of course, as Talk Radio is the radio station for general election coverage. We're here to help. Talk Radio's award-winning political editor, Cornelius. Hello.
Hello.
has been busy today beavering away in his office, which may or may not have been a toilet cubicle in a former life. When I say a former life, I mean just before he went in there and declared it his office. His desk is essentially ceramic. But anyway, he's been zoning in on a constituency, a different constituency, each day. Today, his election spotlight, such as it is, shines on the good people of Argyll and Bute. So sit back and listen so you know your options when you enter the polling booth. It's the election spotlight on Talk Radio.
Hello, the people of Argyll and Bute, or as you like to say, Orkai. I am Talk Radio's award-winning political editor, Cornelius Mendes, and consider this a helpful guide as to who you can vote for in this June's general election. And what a Bute of a constituency it is today. And Argyll. From Aldochle to Penny There, the area is famous for covering the second largest administrative area for any Scottish council. But it's not just admin that the area boasts. The two isles are home to Tarbert Castle, and who can forget Fingal's Cave? And I'll bet it's well worth a visit. So take a moment to put down that shortbread and listen to me as I guide you through your election choices.
Michael Kelly, for the Labour Party.
Michael Kelly is currently running for the Cooperative Party under the Labour banner, and he works in a cooperative shop. He believes Argyll and Bute is in crisis, with more people leaving and not returning, unable to make a living and get the housing that they need. Michael is against another divisive referendum regarding the Scottish independence.
Gary Mulvaney, for the Conservative Party.
Gary is a chartered certified accountant and currently works in the motor trade for an SME company. He says his job in this election is to make sure he crosses the line as winners to ensure the threat of independence referendum 2 is off the table. He believes that Lib Dem, Labour and Unionist voters should rally around the Tories as they're the only one who can contest the SNP.
Brendan O'Hara for the Scottish National Party.
Brendan O'Hara lives in Helensburgh and has previously served as the Member of Parliament for the past 2 years. He pledges to continue supporting the WASPI campaign in their fight to get pension justice for women against estate pension equality. Brendan pledges that working through local, national and international organisations, he will continue to make economic regeneration through improved connectivity his main priority if re-elected.
Alan Reid for the Liberal Democrats.
Alan Reid represented Argyll and Bute in the House of Commons for 14 years. He says that the Liberal Democrats are leading the way in the campaign to keep Britain in the EU. Alan says he is keeping up the campaign to bring super-fast broadband and mobile phone coverage to all parts of Argyll and Bute. So there we have it, the people of Argyll and Bute, the choice is yours. Head down to your local polling station, whether that be Victoria Hall on Kinloch Road, Kilmartin Church Hall in Kilmartin, or any of the others, just make sure your vote counts. Because if you vote, they can't take your lives, and they definitely can't take your freedom.
All of Kintyre, home is rolling in from the sea. My desire is always to be here.
There it was, the election spotlight. The spotlight on Argyll and Bute. There, ending there, a little Braveheart joke. Was that a Scottish accent you attempted at the end of that, by the way?
Just for one of the words.
Yeah.
It's brilliant, because you know the acne removal cream, Freedom, is exactly how Scottish people say freedom in Braveheart.
Yes.
So you just go, you can take our lives, but you can't take our freedom.
Is that what Scottish people generally...
They always say acne, don't they?
Yeah. Acne the new. It's a racist of you, really. But anyway, thank you.
You're welcome.
I mean, I noticed once again you said award-winning political correspondent during that.
Yeah. That's the problem with that.
Well, in that I don't know what award that might be.
You don't know? God, that's made you made you look stupid, hasn't it?
Is it? Yeah, what award? Yeah. What award?
I can't believe you. Are you pretending? Yeah. Everyone already knows.
There isn't one, is there?
I can't believe you don't know.
There isn't one.
How embarrassing. Do you work in media or politics?
There isn't one.
Do you not know?
There isn't one, is there?
Wait till I tell Robert Peston about this.
Right, great. Anyway, Cornelius there with his imaginary award for political editing. In the next half an hour of the programme, then, today's edition of Paul Rossmaster, as I say. Tommy Boyd will be joining us, radio legend, to have a go on our quiz pertaining to the life and work of Talk Radio Full Set Breakfast presenter Paul Ross. It's 3:30 now, though. Here's Pete with the latest news on Talk Radio in the afternoon.
Talk Radio.
The Manchester Arena suicide bomber had been thrown out of a mosque in the city just 2 months ago. Salman Abedi was caught hiding in the library of the Salam Community Centre in Moss Side so he could read religious books overnight. Mosque chairman Abdullah Munsin Norris said he had more than one run-in with Abedi.
You can't come from the toilet and walking on the mats where we're going to do wudu, and then from there we're going to come to the mosque to pray. So I was very, very annoyed with him. He said, don't treat him as a child. I said, you're a child. If he wasn't a child, he would not behave like that because you should know better. And that was my last confrontation with him.
Meanwhile, the UK fell silent this morning to remember the victims of the attack. Crowds gathered across the city to pay their respects at 11 a.m. The Queen has met staff and patients on a visit to a hospital in the city. Police investigating the attack have stopped sharing information with American authorities. It's after details, including images from the crime scene, were leaked in the media. Officers are furious and says it undermines the confidence of victims. Theresa May is in Brussels, where she says she will raise the issue with President Trump.
We have a special relationship with the USA. It is our deepest defence and security partnership that we have. Of course, that partnership is built on trust. And part of that trust is knowing that intelligence can be shared confidently.
Police also say that significant arrests have been made and important items seized during raids. Eight people are now being questioned in the UK about Monday's atrocity. In other news, UKIP has restarted general election campaigning after it was suspended following the attack. The party is promising to fund 20,000 extra troops and police officers, as well as 7,000 more prison officers. And a couple who want to take their sick baby son to the USA for treatment have lost a legal battle in the Court of Appeal. Chris Gard and Connie Yates want 9-month-old Charlie Gard, who suffers from a rare genetic condition and has brain damage, to undergo a therapy trial. Today's weather, another dry day with plenty of sunshine. Temperatures will hit 27 degrees Celsius. There's more news in half an hour.
There is more news in half an hour. Thank you very much from Pete, certainly. But now, there's more news now. Because in a moment, we're going to be bringing you bonus news. Pete hasn't got to do this, because he's busy. He's got a proper job to do. Ordinarily, Victoria brings us this. Of course, she's not in today. But it's bonus news. Now, regular listeners know that the reason it's here is because the time has to be made up, because the bulletins are shorter than they used to be. They used to be 3 minutes, now they're 2 minutes. So each day we bring you bonus news at 3:30, animal news, vegetable news and mineral news, because it covers everything off. Today we bring you animal news.
From aardvarks to zebras, this is Animal News.
And today we bring you animal news.
Animal news.
With our animal award-winning animal correspondent, Cornelius.
Thank you, John. An emergency rescue was launched in southeast London on Tuesday night when a cat became trapped on a neighbour's roof. Asprod Cass threw the glasses cat Loki had tried to jump onto the conservatory roof, and after being unable to cling onto the plastic roof, then jumped onto an adjacent flat roof. Alerted by the noise, the owner said her two housemates, Marta and you, frantically tried to coax the cat
down. I don't live there.
Cass's flatmate's called you. Cass hung out of
a... Mimi?
No. You.
Right. Okay.
Cass hung out of an upstairs window to try and encourage him to jump to her. To no avail.
Right.
A ladder between the...
That's what UKIP want in their manifesto.
Okay. A ladder between the conservatory and the flat roof was laid and smeared in food to try and coax him
across. Who smears a ladder in food?
The terrified Moggy refused to budge and continued meowing for help. The commotion drew out of neighbours who said, you should have got a pet turtle before going back inside with a tut. Thankfully, though, the crafty cat has made his own way down without injury. Let's speak to Cass now.
Right. Asprod Cass is through the glass.
Yeah.
You should have called your cat Asprod Cat.
No, because I've had him longer than I've had to work with you idiots.
Asprod Cat on the mat.
Yes.
It would work, wouldn't it? No. Did you... The food you smeared on the ladder...
Yeah.
Was it an egg?
No! It was cat food, obviously.
Well, I assume that being your cat, your... Let's give it its full title. Your witch is familiar. Does it, like you, eat an egg?
No, he eats cat food and whatever he steals off my plate.
Egg?
No!
All that's on your plate is egg.
Leave the egg thing. I don't eat them anymore. When was the last time you saw me eat an egg?
You always eat an egg.
I've not had an egg for months.
Why'd you smell of an egg?
I don't smell of an egg! It's not animal news.
That's not animal news. It's just what happened to your cat.
It's an animal and it's news.
It's not news.
It's news.
It's not news. It's
animal news.
Thank you.
Have you got more?
Yeah.
Put the music back on. Hang on.
A pet owner in Sweden has made a harness for his disabled goldfish that couldn't stay afloat.
What?
The disabled fish in Sweden got a homemade custom wheelchair from its owner after it had trouble staying afloat.
Hang on a minute. You can't... A wheelchair for a fish?
Apparently so, according to this piece of paper which I've been handed.
That's gonna...
Its owner said the fish was stuck at the bottom of the tank because its swim bladder was damaged.
But also because it's now attached to a wheelchair.
The floating harness made of twist ties and pieces of cork... is made of twist ties and pieces of cork. Swim bladder disease is a common disorder in aquarium fish, as you're well aware, John.
I am, actually. I had a goldfish with that, so yes. I do know about that. I did not fashion it a gadget.
It causes the fish to either sink to the bottom of the tank, float to the top, or float nose down and tail up.
Yeah, I did have a fish that did that, yeah.
What, all three of them?
Well, no,
the
latter, mostly.
Okay.
All right.
Noah's Ark Zoo celebrates the birth of Gus the Giraffe. Noah's Ark Zoo Farm in Wraxall, North Somerset, has been celebrating the birth of a baby giraffe this week, and the new calf has been named Gus.
Is that it?
And finally, drug smugglers have used a pigeon wearing a tiny backpack to smuggle drugs into Kuwait. Cops tracked the bent bird as it flew... as it flew from neighbouring Iraq and swooped as it crossed... Yeah, I know. As it swooped as it crossed the border. Amazingly, it was wearing a tiny pouch that appears to be taped or sewed into its back and contained 178 pills. It isn't the first pigeon to be nabbed for narcotic smuggling. In 2015, guards at Costa Rica prison caught a flying pigeon flying drugs into the slammer, John. It's a crime wave amongst pigeons.
And that is animal news, is it?
That's all for today's animal news.
Animal news, animal news. Of course, there'll be more news.
Oh, news. And I have posted a picture of the first image, result when you search pets on my Twitter. That's @conmend, spelt CONMEND.
Don't you start. This is what Victoria does when she's doing it. Have you got... Which picture have you put up?
So basically, I Google image searched pets.
Yeah.
And then just the first picture, which is off some pets.
Fine, great. Animal news!
Animal news.
It's animal news.
Animal news.
Animal news.
Animal news. Animal news.
Now, in the next bit of the programme, there will be this. Paul Rossmaster, radio's least favourite quiz. It's where we test a celebrity's knowledge as to the life and work of the great man himself, Paul Ross, Talk Radio Full Set Breakfast presenter, no less. Today, having a go on it, trying to get some points, which will put them at the top of the leaderboard with everybody else who's ever played, none other than Mr. Tommy Boyd. It's coming next. It's on Talk Radio. It's Paul Rossmaster. I'm John Holmes.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Have you noticed how words that describe big things are, well, big? The word colossal is pretty sizable. Humongous would win any game of Scrabble. Then there's the phrase, the original bundle from Sky. Loads of channels, big screen drama, and a 1 terabyte Sky Q box. The smallest thing about it is the price. Sky TV for £22 a month. Search Sky Bundles. Sky. Believe in better.
Direct debit subject status. £20 setup. Sky Q loaned at no cost. Minimum contract and terms apply.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check. Emmanuel received over £2,400 on her Barclaycard.
I had already attempted to claim back PPI, but with no success, so I wasn't hopeful when I first contacted Stanton Fisher. Needless to say, I was pleasantly surprised with the outcome.
So text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI.com?
That's CHECK to 80800.
So, what can you do in your lunch hour? Eat your lunch, obviously. Do a bit of social networking, text your partner asking what should we have for tea, or you could sell your car. Yep, selling your car with WeBuyAnyCar.com is so quick, the average drive time to a branch is less than 15 minutes. You could have sold your car before everyone else has made it back to their desks. Quick, enter your reg number now at WeBuyAnyCar.com. Admin fee may apply. For more information, see WeBuyAnyCar.com/info.
So you've been pondering the idea of getting rid of your greys with Just For Men for the first time, and you're curious, is it fast? Easy? Why, yes, it's faster and easier than, say, fighting over the remote with your wife. You want the match, she, that blasted singing contest thingy. On the flip side, you could have been done getting rid of your grey with Just For Men by now. In about 5 minutes, you're back to your natural hair colour. Hey, your hair looks so good, she might even turn off the telly. Just For Men. Find it in the men's aisle.
Let's make more of the garden. Because right now, at Wix, there's 3 for 2 across gardens and landscaping, including all decking and wood care. Wix, let's do it right. Exclusions apply.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In West Yorkshire, we have one lane closed and heavy traffic. That's due to a broken down vehicle on the M62 heading westbound at junction 28. In Cheshire, we have one lane blocked and slow traffic due to an accident on the M6. That's southbound between junction 18 and junction 19. Also in Cheshire, we have very slow traffic due to an earlier broken down car. That's on the M6 northbound between junction 17 and junction 18, with congestion back to junction 16. And in the West Midlands, we have slow traffic and long delays due to an earlier broken down vehicle on the M6. That's northbound between junction 8 and junction 9. I'm Sammy Jo Lowe.
You can talk loads on the internet. I talk to my friends all the time, even like 5 or 7 at once. I can talk to my older brother at uni. I can even talk with people I've never heard of, like BubbleBob77, who wants to hang out. Shall I tell him where I live?
When your kids have questions about the internet, make sure it's you they turn to. Regular chats together will help you keep them safe. For help and advice from O2 and NSPCC, search Share Aware.
There's a brand new mouth in the morning. The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast. Tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio. The biggest breaking news stories, headline-grabbing guests, an outspoken opinion with the man who's waking up the nation.
Total Talk. Essential listening.
Paul Ross is the breakfast boss. Let's bacon roll.
Massive morning radio that's worth going to work for.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast.
Good morning, madam.
Tomorrow morning from 6
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon to you. It is Talk Radio. That bit of production once again brought you the truth. Now, I am John Holmes, as that bit of production also intimated. But the news today, we've been looking around at the news, of course. Donald Trump is speaking in Brussels at the moment. Of course, there's the NATO conference. Theresa May also there, calling him out on US leaks. The security services, of course, leaking information, as we know, into the US press after the terrible attacks in Manchester. There's a lot of news around. It's all very complicated, isn't it, Connor?
Oh, I can't get my head around it.
Well, on this programme, we like to help. What we do is we take the news, and we know it's complicated. We're well aware of it. And what we do is we bring it to you, sort of distilled down, as regular listeners will know. If you are drilling down into the news, getting right deep into it, when you get down to the nitty and the gritty, what you find is, of course, that the news is mostly made up, not 100%, but 99% made up, of Japanese poetry. So that's how we present it to you, to make it easier to understand. Five syllables, seven syllables, and five syllables. We present the news in haikus.
Pigeon in Kuwait caught smuggling some drugs. It was flying high.
Yes. The news in haikus. Now, it is time. It's Thursday, it's 4:15, and that means it's time for this week's edition of Paul Rossmaster. Now, it's the quiz where well-known personalities are tested as to their knowledge of Talk Radio full set breakfast presenter Paul Ross. Each of our contestants vying to get to the top of the leaderboard where everyone who's ever played is. And they do that by getting some points. Playing today, welcome to the programme, radio legend, talk radio legend, no less, Mr. Tommy Boyd. Hello, Tommy.
Hi, John. How are you?
Oh, very good, thank you. How are you, more like it, though, sir?
Very well. Surprisingly well, I tend to say these days.
Good. Well, I'm glad you're on. Of course, welcome back to Talk Radio, because, of course, you were in for Ian the other night.
Yes, enjoyed it.
As well. Yeah, and as did indeed the listeners. So it's good to have you back. I know you're going to be doing more stuff on Talk Radio as well. My question to you, Tommy, first of all, though, is what's your knowledge of Paul Ross like?
Sketchy.
Sketchy. That's probably fine. To be honest with you, all you need to do with this is get yourself some points.
Okay.
As I say, that's going to get you to the top of the leaderboard with everyone else who's ever played. All right, so that's what we're after. What you'll get, Tommy Boyd, is three questions, mostly A, B and C answers. All right?
Okay.
So if you're ready to play, we'll crack on, because I know you're short of time. So let's play this week's edition with Tommy Boyd of Paul Rossmaster. Here we go. Question number one, Tommy. Film that's not done very well at the box office news now. And a film that's not done very well at the box office is, of course, the new film that's not done very well at the box office, Paul Ross, Legend of the Sword. It tells the story of Talk Radio full set breakfast presenter and one true king, Paul Ross, who must seek his destiny by pulling a microphone out of Talk Radio travel presenter Janina Adams. Oh. It is spoken that only he who can successfully remove the broadcast tool from the occasional afternoon traffic broadcaster can become full set Talk Radio breakfast presenter and one true king. But when fate intervenes, Paul Ross must undertake a journey. A journey that takes him from interviewing former stars of Holby City to the dense foliage of a roundabout just outside Maidenhead. But is Paul Ross the one true former host of ITV's Big City? He puts his hands on the shaft of the microphone and a foot on Janina Adams and begins to pull. But Paul Ross, Legend of the Sword, isn't the only radio-based fantasy film. Tommy, name the other one for me. Is it A, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Julia Hartley Brewer? Is it B, Pam's Labyrinth? While exploring an ancient maze, a young girl encounters Talk Radio weekend relationship presenter Dr. Pam Spur, who gives her three tasks to claim immortality. Or is it C, Spirited Away, the story of what happened to Hardeep Singh Kohli for some reason? Which is
this one's fairly easy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the Julia Hartley one, surely.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Julia Hartley Brewer.
Yes.
Is the right answer,
yeah.
Tommy Boyd. Of course
Thank
it is.
Yeah.
Very, very
yeah.
good.
Gotcha.
All right, here we go. Question number two for you. History news. It was on this day, give or take a week, in 1984 that Prince Charles called a proposed extension to Talk Radio Full Set Breakfast presenter Paul Ross a monstrous carbuncle. An extra wing to the ex-presenter of Breakfast on BBC Radio London had been proposed by architects as the original broadcaster was running out of room on his inside. And while he had been exhibiting himself, it was felt that a new space to allow the presenter to expand was worth all the public money. It caused a row, of course, with many saying that a monarch should not interfere with a radio host. But what other famous piece of radio-based architecture is the correct answer to this question? Is it A, the Golden Hour Gate Bridge? Ex-Radio 1 DJ Simon Bates, now he's one of the rare ones that's not in prison, spans San Francisco playing old hits. What was the year? B, the Mac Twin Towers. Virgin Radio's weekend presenters, the Mac Twins, are attacked by Osama bin Laden. Or was it C, the architecture, the magnificent architecture of Trevor Nelson's column?
I think this is a trick question. I think the answer's all three.
Ah, interesting. Why would you think that?
Sloth. Basic sloth on my part, really.
All right.
And indecisiveness.
Okay.
Which I've been suffering from increasingly.
Okay. Well, I'll go for A.
I'm gonna be decisive. I'm gonna go for no, not A. I'm not going to Simon Bates. I'm going for B.
B. The Mac Twin Towers.
Yes.
It's the right answer. You were right to very cleverly play your hand there in that way. That's very good. Final question, Tommy, is a music question. Have a listen to this music.
Black hole sun, won't you come? Wash away the rain. Black hole sun, won't you come? Won't you come?
Well, of course, that was Black Hole Sun by, sadly, no longer with us, Chris Cornell, out of off of Soundgarden. Here's your unrelated question, Tommy Boyd. This week, animal researchers finally solved the mystery of why radio presenters are able to stand on one leg. Basically, broadcasters, such as, for example, Talk Radio Full Set Breakfast presenter Paul Ross, have a hidden hip, which alters their centre of gravity. Tests were carried out after scientists were able to coax a number of radio presenters onto a number of platforms at a number of sites with some birdseed and the promise of an interview with a leading politician. And while the broadcasters were confused, researchers were able to measure their degree of sway. Here's your question. Name five famous sites. Five famous sites.
St Paul's Cathedral.
Very good.
The site for sore eyes, obviously.
Very, yeah, strong, yeah.
Building sites.
Good, very, yes.
My own eyesight, which is no longer 20/20.
Yes.
And Eric Sykes, which is almost a sight, but not quite because it's a K.
Not bad. Not bad, actually. Let me tell you what I had written on the card. Okay, five famous sites. Para.
Yes.
The US Congressional Over Committee.
Yes.
Out of the poorly received 1998 film with George Clooney and Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, yes.
Bruce Four.
Bruce Forsyth.
Yeah.
Not really, but.
Not really. And an illegal gypsy one. So essentially, you got. Let's find out, because all we need to do now is go over to the scores. We need to work out the scores. Bear with us, Tommy, while we work that out, because you're looking for some points. Now, are we firing up? Yes, we are.
Yeah, I'll just fire up the system.
Right. We just had to fire up the system, Tommy. It's a very slow. The equipment here is not very good, but you'll know about that. So. Just bear with us while we fire this up. Okay, we're in. It's a dial-up thing. So, okay, we're in now. Cornelius. Cornelius, Tommy, Cornelius.
Hi, Tommy.
He's going to be just working out your scores, and we are looking for some points to get you at the top of the leaderboard. So, okay, here we go.
Okay, sorry, Tommy, how do you spell your name?
P-I-S-S-D-I-S-S-O-S-S.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's taken that, all right. It's fine.
It's pronounced Tommy Boyd, but it's
spelled differently. That's fair enough.
Spelled, yeah. Yeah. It's spelt luxury yacht.
Yes.
Talk.
Throat wobbler mangrove.
Radio.
Mm.
Right. I won't print it off for fun.
Oh, all right.
I'll just read it from the screen.
Great news. All right.
Because...
So we are looking for some points. So Tommy Boyd, newly of the Talk Radio Parish, but also latterly of the previous Talk Radio Parish, and it's excellent to have him back. So what have we got? Cornelius.
Tommy Boyd has scored.
Yeah, he's got to get some points.
Some points! Yes!
Some points.
Tommy! Good work.
Hey, Tommy Boyd, thank you very much indeed.
Great day for fascism.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Tommy. Tommy Boyd there. Tommy Boyd there.
I know. Legend another of radio legend brought back to Talk Radio.
There he is.
God, they're going to have to go so far back. Lord Haw-Haw will be doing cover shifts soon.
He's in next week, Tommy, on Talk Radio. Oh, Sam Delaney's with us now, though. Hello, Sam Delaney.
Hi.
I wasn't expecting you because aren't you broadcasting from not
another
this
studio but
today?
A bit like when Phil Collins crossed the Atlantic on Live Aid.
Yeah, Philadelphia and London.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm sort of doing that. I'm here, and then I'm going to rush downstairs into our studio on the first floor and continue the show from there, which is just the kind of broadcaster I am, dynamic and brave, above all brave.
And out of breath.
Always out of breath, but the people like that.
Yeah. It's the reason we should explain this is happening is because Paul Ross poured coffee into this desk.
About a month ago.
Yeah, a month and a half, probably, and it's still not fixed. So today we understand they're going to have a go at fixing
it. Weird.
Anyway, there we are. What's coming up?
So we're going to be talking about armed police on the streets of the UK and whether that makes people feel safer or slightly kind of more concerned and nervy. We're talking about how this relationship between the US and the UK is breaking down as a result of them all leaking their
stuff.
Intelligence services, their police and their media leaking information to stitch us up. That's annoying. We'll be talking about that. We've got Polly Toynbee.
Oh, yeah.
A legend of the left here in the studio
talking about
her new book, which is very exciting. And we'll also be talking about it being the 40th anniversary of Star Wars' release today.
Is it?
Yes. So we'll be joined by our Star Wars expert, Jamie Stangroom. So that and lots more.
Good stuff. He's with you next from a different studio. Run like the wind.
Off I go. Like Noli. All those years ago, Noel and Phil Collins.
Like Annika Rice.
Yeah.
Wiggle your bottom. All right, there he is, Sam Delaney, heading to a different studio to broadcast from. We'll be back tomorrow on a Friday, excuse me, between 1 and 4 o'clock. It's Talk Radio in the afternoon. Have a good evening. I'm John Holmes.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.
The manifestos, the mandate.